Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
These are the South and North gym frequencies, Iowa City and Cedar Rapids thereabouts, respectively. Also online, kgymradio.com. We've got a solid reason for you to stick around with us for 3 hours today. It's quality local programming. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is with us coming up in about 15 minutes, breaking the news earlier today. The Jordan Bohannon most likely will be out for the entirety of the 2019-2020 basketball season. Chris Raby of KMOX Radio in St. Louis, pre- and post-game host for the St. Louis Cardinals, also happens to be pre- and post-game host for the St. Louis Blues, who tonight are skating against the San Jose Sharks for the opportunity to advance to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1970. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is with us inside the 6 o'clock hour, plus a very special appearance by our pal Steve Kane, a member of the KGYM management team, one of our sales experts here in the building, also happens to be a huge, huge Iowa State Cyclone fan. He's going to be on site at the Cyclone Tailgate Tour tonight, which is set to kick off at 5:30 at the Cedar Rapids Marriott. Will check in with Steve, and he'll set the scene for all of the Iowa State fans who will be flocking to the north side of town as Jamie Pollard, Matt Campbell, Steve Prohm, Bill Fennelly, and the like make their way here for their annual pilgrimage to Eastern Iowa. They always relish being here in this part of the state. Not that they would relish being here on a day where there's negative Iowa basketball news in the air, but we have to start with a story that comes out of left field. Certainly caught everybody here off guard. I don't think it caught our next guest, Chad Lystico, off guard, as he had a story about 15 minutes to 20 minutes before the University of Iowa put out its own news release confirming the report that Jordan Bohannon is going to undergo hip surgery tomorrow, Alex. And the question, at least to me at this point, is does this not feel like 2019 and 2020 is already a lost season for Iowa men's basketball? 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can pick up the phone and give us your opinion on the air, or you can use that same number again, 366-1600, to text us here. Nicholas Bear graduated. Tyler Cook has gone to the NBA. Maishi Daly and Isaiah Moss have transferred away from the program. And now one of your top two scorers, again, presuming that Bohannon and Wieskamp would be leading the scoring, some combination of 1-2 next season, Jordan Bohannon is most likely going to miss the entirety of the season. I can't see him wanting to come back for his senior season and only play a couple months, but this just seems to me now like we're entering a season that's, it's not really a rebuilding season, just a lost season. Am I wrong? 366-1600. Is there anybody out there who's just brimming with excitement for Iowa basketball this winter after the news today?
The first thing for me is I hope that Jordan Bohannon is all right and he makes a full recovery back to playing basketball, because hip injuries at that age, that's never a good thing. That is always a scary thing when somebody that young is going through a hip issue where the labrum is torn and there needs to be surgery on that part of the body. That's never good. But this offseason has gone from one where people were looking and saying, look how much this team has coming back for next year right after that loss to Tennessee, to full-on crisis panic mode. And no, there's no other way to state how awful this offseason has been for this basketball program. And right now, with the roster that is constructed, the biggest question that I have moving into next season is, can this team be 500 overall right now?
You think it's that dire?
I do. And this is where I look at when these things happen, you've talked about this, Todd. the first reaction of the fan base and from a lot of people is to say, okay, well, this isn't a big deal. I don't think anybody was really doing that with Jordan Bohannon, but when Tyler Cook left and to a more different degree, to a higher degree, when Isaiah Moss left, there was a lot of people doing that. But I will ask you this question. Who does this team have to replace those guys that are better than those guys? And when you lose your point guard and a guy who he may not be the best dribble penetrator, but his range is inside of half court, so at least he stretches the defense out a little bit, and you're one of the best three-point shooters in the history of the history of your program, I just wonder if this team will be able to get to 500 next year.
Is it that dire? 366-1600. Alex is saying the 500 mark, just treading water for the majority of the season, is going to be the benchmark for this. The ceiling, I guess, at that point.
Not necessarily the ceiling, but I would say it's the over-under, right?
As David and Hudson on the text line says, season outlook, it ain't good. I don't know what you do at this point, because we chatted with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com last week about what was out there, or more specifically, what was not out there
right
at this point. There's a reason why Isaiah Moss was one of the top five graduate transfers on the market. Now, again, in this instance, you're looking ideally for a graduate transfer, because you can't afford it. It does you no good to go get somebody who comes in and sits out a year. You need somebody who's eligible to play immediately, and so you've already shrunk the pool of available candidates in the transfer portal down to those that have graduated, and then you got to find somebody that fits what you're looking for here. Obviously, a guard at this point. There's not a whole lot out here. Now, again, there's a summer session, and there could be a mystery name or two that pops up and decides that they would like to go elsewhere. But at this point, it's slim pickings for right. Fran McCaffrey, and that's why I tend to look at this and say, not that I'm necessarily all doom and gloom when it comes to Iowa basketball, but how can you make this team better at this point? Outside of putting a lot of eggs into the basket of players that we really don't know how they'll react to making that jump from high school to Big Ten basketball. There are going to be a tremendous amount of pressure and expectations
exactly.
on these newcomers, of whom happens to have the last name McCaffrey, and I think that's really going to be sort of one of the underlying themes to this entire... As this team struggles... I don't know how Fran McCaffrey and his wife compartmentalize criticism of the team away from criticism of their family. So
not only
this season could be just a complete epic disaster on a number of levels. That's my worry if I'm an Iowa basketball
fan. You mentioned Patrick McCaffrey. Well, right now, Connor McCaffrey is the starting point guard. And Connor McCaffrey is a fine player. I know that he draws a lot of criticism, but he is a fine player in the role of a backup point guard. A guy who runs the offense, a guy who distributes the basketball, gets things moving. As the starting point guard with now the best shooter on the team off the floor, that's just scary. And I've seen Patrick McCaffrey play. And this is a guy who needs some time to develop. He's, through no fault of his own, he needs to get bigger. He needs to get stronger. And a redshirt year for him would have done so much good for his game. And now, those young players that you're mentioning, Joe Toussaint, CJ Frederick, and Patrick McCaffrey, are going to be thrust into roles right away where they're playing 15-plus minutes a night. And that's where you wanted to get those guys' experience, but not overwhelm them. And that's the concern, right? That you overwhelm these young kids who are probably not ready to compete night in and night out against Big Ten competition for 20 minutes.
As a couple people have pointed out on the Hertine and Stocker text line, Joe Wieskamp is still out there getting feedback from the NBA, but there's no way you lose him at this point. He's not ready. I think everybody knows that. But the doom and gloom, the real naysayers out there on the text line are now pointing to, hey, things could absolutely get worse. And then on the other side of things, you've got Rob in Center Point, who's going the Aaron Rodgers route, spelling out the word relax. I guess my question to Rob would be, why? What gives you supreme confidence that things will work out for Iowa basketball this coming season? Now, the timeline here, this is hip surgery for Jordan Bohannon. Again, we'll have Chad with us, who wrote the story at the Des Moines Register's website, hawkcentral.com, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. 5 to 9 months, depending on the recovery time here. What's important to keep in mind here is that this is Jordan Bohannon's final year. Does he want to redshirt, sit out, and come back and play a full senior season, or does he want to come back and contribute? Or if this team is hovering sort of near the bubble, does he want to push himself to come back? And of course, this is all premature speculation and talk at this point, but if you're new to sports talk radio, we welcome you. Pull up a chair, sit down. Enjoy the program for a while. It's what we do here.
So
it's the point of the medium. But what does he do as far as, because the question is, the way that the story is written, it seems to be a little ambiguous as to whether he truly will miss all of next season or not. I refuse to believe that Jordan Bohannon would want to come back and play only a month or a month and a half of his final senior season. I think he would want, and he said, is quoted in the story as saying he wants to be 100% for his final season. That, to me, implies he most likely is going to redshirt this upcoming season, which I think, quite frankly, is the right move. 319-366-1600. You don't want to hear us. We want to hear from you. Give us a call or hit us up on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line.
He was also quoted in the story as saying that if he's not ready by exhibition time, so October or November, he would take a redshirt year.
Which is the earliest cutoff, right?
Right, and that's 5 months. So if you're handicapping things at home right now, there's probably about an 85 to 90% chance that he's going to redshirt and miss the entire year.
Jeff on the text line says, as Kirk Ferentz would say, next man in. The problem is this ain't 85 scholarships. This is college basketball. You got 13 and walk-ons,
and a program that has that trains their players to play their best basketball as juniors and seniors, and likes to ease freshmen and sophomores into the situation, which they have no ability to do right now.
And meanwhile, the optimist out there is saying that this is a Disney script just waiting to be written. This scrappy bunch of underdogs is going to pull together in the absence of Jordan Bohannon. Tyler Cook is gone. Nicholas Bear graduated. Maishi Daly and Isaiah Moss have transferred, and now you have Jordan Bohannon most likely redshirting all of next season. If that's not dire, I don't know what is, because you've got Joe Wieskamp, who most likely will come back for his sophomore season. But if he's the only major threat, and I'm not completely discounting Luka Garza or some of the other players here, but I'm talking from beyond the arc. And we really don't know what Iowa has in this Frederick kid who redshirted right last year, who was Mr. Basketball in the state of Kentucky. And that sounds really, really appealing until you realize that it's just a title. And, you know, I always think back, okay, a guy by the name of Bob Hamlin won the American League Rookie of the Year award for the Kansas City Royals in the 90s. Jerome Walton was a Rookie of the Year for the Cubs in 1989. Those guys,
Chris Coughlin.
It's a title. Another former Chicago Cubs legend, although he won that award, I believe, as a member of the Marlins. If Wieskamp is the scoring threat on this team, that makes defending Iowa that much easier next year, because now there's no decision. Do you double on Bohannon, or do you double on Wieskamp? How do you slow the scoring? Well, no Bohannon, no problem here if you're trying to come up with a game plan defensively for the Hawkeyes. So this is now Joe Wieskamp, I think, has to shoulder the load, again, presumably coming back for his sophomore season. And then there's a whole lot of what-ifs. And then you do have some size inside with Luka Garza. And I don't know at this point what to say to Iowa basketball fans who have had a tremendously frustrating offseason. And we still don't know who it's got to be Courtney Aldridge, right? The final assistant coach. Maybe they could go the player coach route, break some new ground in college basketball, although I do believe that's a type one, a major NCAA infraction if you're going to be paying players. So I don't think another Iowa program would want to go down that road, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions about the Iowa basketball program. It's May 21st. This is, yeah. That's exactly how I would say this is, eh. There can't be a fan out there other than Rob in Center Point, who seems to be jacked, telling everybody to relax. Sometimes there's no reason to relax. Sometimes I'm sure there was somebody running around on the deck of the Titanic saying, hold on, it's just an iceberg. Every once in a while, there's reason to be pessimistic, and I think this is one of those. This is one of those times.
I hear a lot of people, and on the Hurtin and Stocker text line, there are a few people asking this question, including 4387, Todd, where does this program go from here? And I am in complete agreement with the people that say next season may be one, and you know it already, that they're not going to win a lot of games. They're going to have to, it's going to be a developmental year for those young guys, and you have to start looking ahead and recruiting for that 2020 year.
Look, there's no benefit to tanking in college basketball.
Right.
If the Hawkeyes were an NBA team, I know what I would do right now if I were the general manager. I would go to my head coach and I would say, "Hey, we're going to tank." But this isn't the NBA. Now, Colin on the text line says Cordell Pemsel has offensive prowess. Look, Cordell Pemsel also has a couple bad knees and God knows what other medical maladies, and he barely made it to the Iowa State game this past season before he had to undergo the knife. So you see the inherent issue here with counting on all these guys who some of them have health issues, some of them are complete unknowns. You can't always assume the best. That's like the Cubs' battle plan coming into the season was, well, you're going to get a bounce back from seven guys, and you're going to get two guys who played at an all-world level last year to remain at that all-world level, and then maybe you're going to get a couple guys who break up. You can't assume anything. And I guess you could turn that around on me and say you also can't assume the worst, but in this particular instance, I think you can.
I keep the opinion that I expect absolutely nothing from true freshmen until they show what they can do and or can't do. Because I have been burned too many times by, rest in peace to the league that used to, the primetime league, and hearing about how great an incoming freshman was in the primetime league and how they're going to dominate in the Big Ten. I've been burned too many times, and I had plenty of expectations for Joe Wieskamp, but he was head and shoulders above pretty much any freshman that I've seen Iowa recruit under Fran McCaffrey. So these three guys that we're talking about who we have never seen, I don't think that it's fair to put expectations on them to come in and play at a starting level in the Big Ten, but there's no choice at this point.
Heaven help us if the prime time league were still around. I hope Randy Larson isn't listening to that, but this would be an instance where you'd have Joe Toussaint or CJ Frederick scoring 50 points in a prime time league game, and fans would be saying, problem solved. 0446 on the text line says, maybe this is a situation of Fran McCaffrey going to the players and saying, there's no pressure on us. Man, nothing is expected here. And sometimes,
fair enough.
Sometimes teams do respond to that. And there is zero pressure on this team at this point. I mean, I don't know how you could look at the roster, what it's going to most likely look like in that opener, and say that there's anything resembling expectations. Now, here's the other thing that we haven't really touched on here. Of all the seasons for Fran McCaffrey to say, we've got a non-conference schedule unlike anyone you've ever seen. But this is going to be one of the toughest non-conference seasons in Iowa basketball history. Could the timing of all of this been any worse for that? This is the season where you want the Little House on the Prairie gang on your schedule.
Maryland,
Little
Eastern
Sisters
Shore.
Of the Poor. They've got a pretty tough slate in the non-conference. They go to Ames to take on Iowa State. It's going to be a long winter. I don't want to go Game of Thrones here, but we all know winter is coming, even though it's May 21st, and it sort of feels like fall out there right now instead of summer on the horizon. Chad Lystico will be with us shortly. He's the one who broke this news today at the Des Moines Register and HawkCentral.com. Also, coming up today, after we chat with Chris Raby in the 5 o'clock hour, so make this a mental note. About 5:45 tonight, we're going to hook you up with a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. La Cantina's got three locations across the corridor. They've got some meeting space, some big party rooms available, and because it is party season, graduation parties all over the place, what better way to make life easier for whoever's planning the party, aka most likely mom. Let's all acknowledge the importance of mom here in these graduation parties. Have La Cantina cater, right? Very simple. $30 to La Cantina could be yours tonight at 5:45. 319-366-1600. We'll need to take a quick timeout here at 4:23. When we come back, Kyle is going to bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber, and then we'll get Chad Lystico on the phone, and he'll give us some of his thoughts as to what the Hawkeyes and Fran McCaffrey will look to do with the absence of Jordan Bohannon. Back with more after this.
Hurt Teen and Stalker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
Yu Darvish looked like the Yu Darvish of old for most of Monday night at Wrigley Field as he matched the man he essentially replaced in the Cubs' rotation, Jake Arrieta, through six innings en route to a no decision. Manager Joe Maddon said it was probably Darvish's best performance in a Cubs uniform. I don't think there's any probably about it. Unfortunately, the night ended with an L flag flying above the scoreboard as the Cubs squandered a big eighth-inning rally that had given them a 4-3 lead heading to the ninth. Reliever Brad Brock served up a run in the ninth inning, and lefty Kyle Ryan did the same in the 10th as the Phillies took the opener of the series in Chicago 5-4. The bigger storyline from Monday night was perhaps the absence of shortstop Javi Baez, who injured his heel Sunday night against the Nationals. Baez is once again out of the lineup tonight as Jose Quintana duels Zach Eflin at 6:05 on ESPN. Oh, and one last thing. Andrew McCutchen definitely swung. No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Oh, Disturbed, the Evolution Tour.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness.
October 9th.
Are you ready?
U.S. Cellular Center.
Get up, get up.
New album, Evolution,
get
out
up,
now.
Up.
Special guest. In This Moment. Disturbed, live.
Darkness, my own.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
It's time to open the gates, turn on the lights, and play ball at Prospect Meadows. Come celebrate the grand opening of the sparkling new baseball and softball complex Thursday at 5 o'clock. Prospect Meadows is just north of Marion, at the juncture of Highway 13 and County Home Road. There will be 9 fields this year, including the Miracle Field for people with special needs, and another 8 fields opening in 2023. Celebrate during the grand opening Thursday at 5, and welcome this amazing new facility in your own backyard.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Twins and the Angels game two of a three-game series with Big Mike. Michael Pineda on the mound for the Twins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Yes, because when I hear Twins Angels and the name Mike Pineda, Michael Pineda is the first name that comes to mind. We'll have that for you, as you heard, on our North Gym frequency tonight, 107.5 FM. Basketball for everybody else, and hockey on the mind of at least one person here in the KGYM studios. We will whet his appetite for St. Louis Blues discussion with Chris Raby about an hour from now inside the 5 o'clock. But Kyle Mann is with us. By the way, spoiler alert, Kyle is not the one who has hockey on his mind. He's got a big board update on his mind, brought to you by the good folks at Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The offseason, frankly, has not been good to the Iowa basketball team, and things went from bad to worse this afternoon when Chad Lysico reported that senior point guard Jordan Bohannon is going to have hip surgery and acknowledges a possibility that he'll miss the entire upcoming season. The operation scheduled for tomorrow morning would be to shave bone off of his right hip and repair a labral tear, and his timetable to return is between 5 and 9 months. The front end of that window would potentially bring him back for the beginning of the season, but with any sort of delay, Bohannon says he would likely take a redshirt season and return the following year. As of now, the Hawkeyes would enter the season with a backcourt consisting of Joe Wieskamp, Connor McCaffrey, redshirt freshman C.J. Frederick, and incoming freshman Joe Toussaint. The Iowa baseball team got some much-needed positive news today, being that closer Grant Leonard was named an All-Big Ten second-teamer. He was a perfect 13-for-13 in save situations, second most in the Big Ten and seventh nationally, and tied for Iowa's single-season record. He and the Hawkeyes begin their fight for a postseason berth in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow against top-seeded Indiana. We're starting to get our first looks at some preseason top 25s for the upcoming football season. Athlon Sports recently ranked the Hawkeyes 18th, the sixth-ranked team in the Big Ten behind Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Nebraska, while the Cyclones were 24th, third in the Big 12 behind Oklahoma and Texas. Athlon also pegged 9 Hawkeyes as preseason all-conference selections, led by A.J. Epinesa and Alaric Jackson as first-teamers, along with Amir Smith-Marset as a returner. Pro Football Focus, meanwhile, ranks Iowa 10th behind only Ohio State, and Iowa State 21st. Tonight after the show, it's Game 4, the Bucks and Raptors on the South and Main gyms, and at 8:30, the Twins and Angels on the North gym.
And worth noting, the Cedar Rapids Colonels were supposed to take on the Burlington Bees tonight. At 6:35, that game has been rained out. They will play a doubleheader tomorrow, and normally they would start tomorrow's game an hour early because of the doubleheader. Well, it's already a noon game tomorrow, so they will play two beginning at noon, 2 7-inning contests. Gates will open at 11 o'clock, and looking ahead to the weather forecast tomorrow, it should be much, much nicer than it is out there today. You mean about 3,000 screaming school kids tomorrow at Veterans Memorial Stadium. I always like to sneak over there for lunch before coming. We've got Lunchbox Heroes tomorrow, but that'll be a Scott Unash and Mark Dukes collaboration. So we'll load up the family truckster, and then those guys get to dole out food to area construction workers, thanks to our friends at Built by Pros and a ton of other sponsors. You can learn more about Built by Pros at our website, kgymradio.com. Worth checking out that Burlington roster. There are some intriguing players on it, including Kevin Maiton, who was one of the international signings that the Atlanta Braves had to forfeit when they were investigated for breaking the rules. Not to draw parallels to the Iowa volleyball program, but this stuff happens all across professional and amateur sports, and rules are broken. Consequences usually follow, and we'll continue to wait and see what happens with Bon Szymanski in Iowa City. But as promised, with us now on the phone lines, Chad Lysico of the Des Moines Register, who broke the Jordan Bohannon news. Chad, this isn't that fun story that you were teasing everybody with on Twitter a couple days ago, is it, that you said everybody was going to enjoy hearing?
No, that one's in Sunday's paper.
Okay, Sunday's paper. So if you're looking for good news or a fun read, pick up the Sunday Register. And instead, today and tomorrow's Register, the print product, dire news here for Iowa basketball. I'm not going to ask you how you went about finding this scoop here, but it seems you had no problem getting Jordan Bohannon to open up to you about the long list of things that have ailed him in recent years.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Jordan, the nice thing about, you know, covering the basketball team in particular is you can develop some relationships with guys. And I think he and I have a good relationship of trust. And so, you know, when this came about, he felt like he was okay to talk about it. But yeah, just, you know, the plantar fasciitis, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. I just know how to spell it. Was something he dealt with as a sophomore. Everyone kind of realized that eventually. That was a frustrating season on so many levels. And then, of course, the hip. He hurt it right before the first exhibition game. Yes, he didn't play in that game. And then he said it just got worse as the season went on. He took more of a beating. And one of my coworkers actually just said, why couldn't they have gotten him more rest the last couple of years? Well, they didn't really have a point guard 2 years ago when Christian Williams transferred and Connor was sick. And then, of course, last year, you know, Iowa was in so many thrilling games and he was so clutch. I mean, how could you sit him down? So, yeah, his body just took a beating and he said he's ready to get healthy. And it might be a while.
In these past couple of seasons, whether it's been the hip or, like you said, the plantar fasciitis, you could see it 2 years ago in that frustrating season where he was having to play and he was really the only threat and the teams were focusing on him more. And there was always that question lingering, is he all right? Is he hurt? And did that sort of linger into this year? Does this make sense of what we've seen from him the past couple of years?
Well, the foot thing finally subsided. So he wasn't dealing with that this year. This year was the hip. And the one thing, the little sidebar is, always the first criticism of him, you know, is about his defense. And I really just think that he was not playing even close to 100% either of the last 2 years. And I think that as a he's doing like what he told me, is he's been doing his best as he could with what he was dealt with. And I think he just really wants to have that senior year where he's fully healthy. And right now, he's not real optimistic that he's going to be healthy to start the season. And he doesn't want to go through another season where he's battling injury, trying to come back from something. You know, what if he relapses a little bit? You know, that's his approach right now. We'll see what happens. Maybe he recovers in, 3 months, but he's anticipating 5 to 9 and then another couple months to get in shape. So he seems pretty resigned to me to take the redshirt.
That's the question here for Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register joining us on the program. Is we know Jordan fairly well also from being around the program. He is a competitor. He's going to try to drive himself to make this as short of a recovery as possible, but I still think that that's going to be an issue here. So as you just put it, you're the one who talked to him. He does sound resigned to most likely winding up having to redshirt, correct?
I mean, that's the way it's sounding to me. I mean, you can read if you read the quotes in the story, he almost goes into it almost sounds like he's made the decision, although I don't think that that's the case, just yet. I think he's just, he knows the history of hip injuries. I was just talking to an Iowa State beat writer who pointed out that Mazmetri Long had an operation, came back, started the season, had to shut it down again and get a medical redshirt, and then came back the following year. So it can be a really long recovery. Naz had the exact same injury. And then he had a good season, and now he's in the NBA. So these things can really linger. Halas Cook, another Iowa State guy, took a full year to recover after a December surgery. So, these things are tricky. Anybody who's had a hip issue knows it's not predictable. It's not, there's not an exact science to it. And it is a surgery. I mean, he's got a torn labrum muscle and they're going to shave some bone off his hip too. So it's not a minor thing.
Chad, has this offseason officially reached crisis mode for the basketball program?
Not until Joe Wieskamp stays in the draft, of which I don't expect to happen, by the way. But, boy, if that happened, I think I'm going to take about a 6-week vacation. I don't know. I mean, I think what's frustrating for Iowa fans is here's a team that did some really good things this last year. I mean, it went 11-0 in the non-conference, first time in program, you know, since 87, so 32 years that they've gone unbeaten in non-conference. They won 23 games, which is the most in a McCaffrey in an NCAA tournament year. You know, came within an overtime of the Sweet 16, and yet, even after the season, it just didn't feel like there was that feel-good bounce, you know. And then ever since, there's been, you know, I think we all expected Cook to go. At least I did. The Moss thing, I think, caught a lot of people off guard. And of course, now this is not great news. So, at least for the urgent future. I mean, for Jordan, I mean, I think it's the right decision, and best of luck to him. If he does, hopefully, he does come back and play at a high level. That's really what he wants.
Now, the question that we've been getting from a lot of folks today is, what does this mean for the players who are on the roster and going to play next year, especially at the guard position? How do you see, putting your prognosticating cap on here, how do you see Fran McCaffrey navigating these choppy waters as far as putting a lineup together?
Yeah, I mean, he, in my interview with him last week, which we talked about, he was still open to taking a grad transfer. So I think he's really got to escalate that effort now. You know, certainly someone's got to see the opening now. I mean, if they didn't before, you know, if they could bring someone in, I think that would even relieve a little more pressure off Jordan's recovery to begin with. But let's say they don't. I mean, McCaffrey's never done it before, and this is year 10. So you're going to look at Connor McCaffrey and Joe Toussaint as your primary point guards. Obviously, you know, we have no idea what to expect from Toussaint. You know, a shorter, quicker point guard. It'll be interesting. He's certainly going to have plenty of opportunity. As I pointed out in my column, which I think posted in the last 30 minutes or so, you know, Connor's playing summer baseball. So, you know, with Connor and Jordan gone this summer, you know, Joe Toussaint's got a really nice window to get some point guard minutes. And then the other thing is C.J. Frederick, I think, is the probably the biggest beneficiary in terms of playing time. I mean, this is a guy that redshirted, brand's really high on him. Supposedly he can play some points as well. He's 6'3". You know, apparently was one of the best players in practice toward the end of the regular season. So I think he's those three, and then of course Wieskamp, should he be back, you know, are going to take the bulk of backcourt minutes, and maybe Iowa just goes a little bigger, you know. Maybe they go a little more Penzo, a little more Nunji, a little more Kreener, a lot of Garza. I still think Patrick McCaffrey redshirts.
Chad, I have to give you credit. Not only did you basically allude to reading, needing to read the quotes in the original piece, but now you've just thrown in a plug for your column, which is posted at HawkCentral.com. Among the guests that we have on this program, very few of them are as good at plugging their own material as you are. So a kudos to you on that front. One of the things Alex and I were discussing is this is also a case of really bad timing for Fran McCaffrey, because what was he touting after the Tennessee game? The fact that Iowa had a really strong non-conference schedule next season. So it just seems like one thing after another is adding up to consternation for this program next season.
Well, I think, yeah, there's, you know, you basically lose four of your top six, and three of them were, you know, somewhat unexpected. I mean, in Bohannon, Moss, Cook, and Bear, I mean, that's four of your top six gone. You know, we still think Wieskamp's coming back, and then Garza, and that's about it of the top six. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there was a lot of hope that if five of those top six were back, or even four of those top six, you know, they could have a nice team next year. I think that's a, you know, obviously a major question now. I mean, if Bohannon's out, you're down to 10 scholarship guys, which counts two McCaffreys and one Riley Till, and so. You know, it's thin. It's thin right now. No more margin for error, as if they had any to begin with.
Now, you mentioned you think that Patrick McCaffrey is going to redshirt. You don't think that this injury affects their plans with him at all?
I don't think so. I mean, if they want to rush him ahead, they could, I suppose. But I still see enough bodies there to kind of make it work. But like I said, the margin there is thin. You know, there's we'll see. That'll be an ongoing discussion, I'm sure. I'm sure that decision hasn't been made yet. But I mean, if they're, you know, if next year is not going to be a prime year, then I don't know why you play him, especially when you've got a lot of forwards next year in Wieskamp, Nungy, Pemsel, Kreener, and then Garza at center. I mean, you've got, and Riley Till, of course, could eat up some minutes as well. So I don't know. I mean, I keep hearing he's going to redshirt. Obviously, the head coach would know what's going on and they could change that. But I think that would be best for him at this point.
Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. When are we going to get some good Iowa basketball news? How about when do you think we'll find out about Courtney Eldridge's? I mean, when will they announce the new assistant hire?
Yeah, he said this week that they would announce something, so I was actually glad it wasn't today. Although they could have added it to the cycle, I suppose. I would say probably tomorrow or Thursday, something like that. I don't know, though. I don't know this one. I don't have anything ready. I guess I can say that.
Never show your hand when you're playing cards. Don't tell somebody that you don't have the scoop. You have all the other ones. Come on. We want to set a record for a number of times that we can talk to you in like a 7-day window here. Have you on the program 4 or 5 more times. Chad Lystico, appreciate it as always, Chad. Try to rest up for the next big story.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And that will be Sunday, according to Chad. A story that people will enjoy reading. He was teasing something on Twitter the other night, and then today this scoop drops out of nowhere. Jordan Bohannon, shaving bone off the hip does not sound like something that is a pleasant experience by any stretch of the imagination. And
I was chatting with my nurse friend this afternoon, and she said that the hip is absolutely the most difficult part of your body, the most difficult joint to tear because the labrum is so strong. So whenever that joint does tear, it is a major, major recovery. And it's like 6 months for a labral tear in your shoulder, probably a little bit more for a hip. So that is your WebMD.
KGYM, your home prognosis for great sports talk radio and medical information. We could do a segment here where you call in and we give you medical advice. I don't think that would pass muster with the folks down the hall, especially as the suspicious deaths in the area would start to mount up. But
sounds like a liability issue.
Definite liability issue. I think the insurance company would most likely get involved there and keep us from bringing that segment to the air. But we always appreciate Chad joining us. We've got a lot more coming your way in the guest department today. Chris Raby of KMOX Radio in St. Louis will be with us inside the 5 o'clock hour. Maybe you've heard there's a relatively big hockey game tonight between the St. Louis Blues and whoever's left of the San Jose Sharks at this point, because they're going to be without two key players, and Joe Pavelski is going to be a quote-unquote game-time decision. And oh, by the way, were they fighting earlier today, you said?
Yeah, there were a couple of reserve players who were in a little bit of a tussle in the morning
skate. Pack it in, boys.
I hope so, but I am not saying anything. This is the St. Louis Blues after all.
I do find it interesting that with all of the injury information that's out there right now, that St. Louis is only a $1.60 favorite on the money line. I would think that they would be a much heavier favorite in this contest. But we'll get into that with Chris Raby coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also tonight, about 5:50 or so, we're going to touch base with one of our coworkers, Steve Kane, who is arguably the biggest Iowa State fan in the building. He's going to be at the Cedar Rapids Marriott tonight, throwing Iowa State some love here on the program. For all you Cyclone fans out there who may not be aware, or maybe it just slipped your mind, but the Cyclone Tailgate Tour makes its annual stop in Cedar Rapids tonight at the Marriott. That's a 5:30 event. It's absolutely free and open to the public. So Steve is going to give us a little bit of a scene setter from there. And then in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, it is Tuesday during the Major League Baseball season, and we didn't chat with him last week. So Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com will be along with us. We'll continue to break down what has been a very, very interesting start to the Major League Baseball season. 447, all that, and we've got for you in about an hour a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Three La Cantina locations, one in Marion, one in downtown Cedar Rapids, and a third in the Fountains, located off Edgewood Road here in Cedar Rapids. $30 could be yours about an hour from now to use at any of the three La Cantina locations. They're hiring, by the way, if you're looking for work. Also, keep in mind, they do cater graduation parties. This is the season for graduation parties. I think my wife did one for a member of the Cedar Rapids Xavier graduating class last week, and there were something like 18 parties on the same day just from the one graduating class. So you got to pace yourselves. That's the important thing at these graduation parties, as I've known throughout the years, is you don't load up a huge plate at the first one, because then by the time you get to the fourth or fifth party you've got to hit, all you want to do is curl up on the ground and take a little nap. Sort of treat it as a small plate, like a tapas. Is that the word?
Yes, it is.
Tapas, I always thought, translated to high-priced, small amount of food.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
But that's how you have to treat graduation parties, unless you've only got one to go to, and then you treat that thing as if it is a bishop's buffet. You're just going back, load it up, go back for seconds, go back for thirds. Don't worry about being an ungracious guest, and don't really worry when somebody comes over to you and asks who you are and why you're there. We wouldn't have any listeners that would crash a random graduation party, do we? I find that hard to believe. 448, we'll take a quick timeout. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, and online at KGYMRadio.com. When we return after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Here's Howie Long for Skechers Wide Fit Footwear.
I'm 6'5", and I can tell you there are certain challenges in life that only big guys understand. Regular clothes don't fit. Heck, regular cars don't fit. But when it comes to shoes, Skechers gets it. That's why I wear Skechers Wide Fit. They've got extra room throughout, giving you room to breathe. And they've got Skechers exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort that lasts all day long.
Find Skechers Wide Fit at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold. Skechers, comfort included.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Protect your engine from sludge and wear with Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly.
dropping games 1 and 2. The Raptors respond with a huge Game 3 win at home. Will the Bucks bounce back?
Coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock on the Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
452 winner gets the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. So the NBA and the NHL postseason following a very similar path. First, one opponent makes it through on a sweep. The other series looks to be interesting, to say the least, both in the NHL and the NBA. The interest may wane in the NHL after tonight, though, if the St. Louis Blues can finish off the San Jose Sharks. Again, we'll chat with Chris Raby of KMOX in Missouri coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We mentioned this yesterday. It's worth noting that there are reports out there now that the University of Michigan will announce that Juwan Howard, the former Michigan standout, will be the replacement for John Beilein in Ann Arbor. That, according to Miami Heat Beat, once again, the internet remains undefeated in breaking news between established media people like Chad Lystico, who had the Jordan Bohannon story, and Miami Heat Beat reporting that Juwan Howard, this is where my mind goes on this stuff. Troy Machir, probably mispronouncing his name there, is a digital editor at NBC Sports Washington, pointing out that if Juwan Howard gets the Michigan job, he'll become the 11th current college basketball coach to have appeared in NBA Jam, the popular video game. And I would ask folks out there to name the rest of them, but a couple of these, I was unaware. Where is Aaron McKee coaching?
Was he from the Suns, Phoenix Suns?
I believe so. The list here, according...
Is he at Grand Canyon University?
Oh, that's Dan Marley.
Dan Marley.
Yeah, that's Thunder Dan.
Those two mixed up.
Patrick Ewing, Penny Hardaway. Bobby Hurley, Dan Marley, Danny Manning, Danielle Marshall, Aaron McKee, Terry Porter, Jerry Stackhouse, and Damon Stoudemire. And then, presumably, Juwan Howard. Am I the only person out there that thinks that this is going to end poorly for Michigan? That just
high risk, high reward.
High risk, high reward. Well, Penny Hardaway is paying off in a big way at Memphis.
I wonder if Michigan will be and Juwan Howard will be able to recruit at that level and bring in that type of fanfare within their fan base. But I think a lot of people are trying to emulate that, bringing in former players, and I think one out of every five will work. That's about my baseline.
The way that I look at this is most of today's players, all of today's college players, were not born when Juwan Howard was a star at Michigan. They may know him from the NBA, but it's not. And I think Steve Alford ran into this similarly when he was at Iowa. Steve Alford was a huge name in college basketball in the mid-80s, and the 2000s rolled around, and he got to the point where a lot of kids, okay, who's Steve Alford? You know, I knew him as an Indiana basketball legend, but the older you get, the further you are removed from the accomplishments that made you a star, maybe sometimes a star in your own mind. And so
the less relevant you are.
Juwan Howard going back to his alma mater here is going to excite old people. Is it going to excite young people?
So the older generation will
won't
remember
someone
him.
Someone think of the old people
as the 5'5", the younger generation, aka the recruits, will remember him as the old guy who stuck around the NBA too long.
I guess. And if the price is right, or if that trips your trigger, then you're calling Ann Arbor home for the next couple of years if you're a recruit. But I echo the sentiment here. I think of the list that we went over the other day, I know Ed Cooley isn't a guy that people would do handstands over in Ann Arbor, but he seemed to be the one guy that I think would be a problem for the rest of the Big Ten, a legitimate, a proven coach for the most part. And he stays at Providence. Michigan reportedly set to name Juwan Howard, And meanwhile, if I'm Tom Izzo, I'm probably going out and getting myself a big porterhouse tonight and a glass of Cabernet, and I will sleep well knowing that Ohio State and Michigan aren't exactly in John Wooden's hands at this point. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's coming up in a jam-packed 5 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. More of the show on the way after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Twins and the Angels, game two of a three-game series with Big Mike. Michael Pineda on the mound for the Twins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:58, we welcome you back in as hour number one has flown by here, as it often does, especially when we have compelling news to bring your way in Eastern Iowa. It doesn't always happen on May 21st, but in 2019, that's exactly the case, is Jordan Bohannon most likely staring at a redshirt season next year for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. What does that all mean? Well, we'll continue to break it down for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis is with us, the pre- and post-game host for the St. Louis Blues. We'll get through an entire segment with Chris without even bringing up Laura Branigan's name one time. It's almost criminal. Plus, our pal Steve Kane, there's no guarantees on this, but we told Steve to give us a call from the Cedar Rapids Marriott tonight as we wanted to get some Iowa State representation on the program from the Cyclone Tailgate Tour as it makes its annual stop here in Cedar Rapids. All that and more. Your texts and phone calls welcome inside the 5 o'clock hour. 319-366-1600 and a $30 gift card to La Cantina on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Yo, Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The NBA's Eastern Conference Finals resume with Game 4 between the Bucks and Raptors tonight. If Toronto's going to tie the series up at two games apiece, Kawhi Leonard has to shoulder the load again. Explains ESPN's Kim Legler.
Because I just don't think there's enough guys on that team that, one, can create their own offense, and two, are in a great rhythm. So he's the one guy that can make up for a lot of mistakes that you have offensively. He's going to have to be great almost every night. I don't know how they win a game if Kawhi Leonard has an off shooting night or has a low scoring night.
Game 4 coverage, 7:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio. The Blazers agreed on a multi-year extension with coach Terry Stotts. Sharks will be shorthanded for tonight's must win in Game 6 of the NHL's West Final against the Blues. Injured defenseman Erik Karlsson and center Tomas Hertl are both out. Center Joe Pavelski, game time decision. NFL, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting the Buccaneers finalizing a one-year contract with defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh. Suh interested in playing for new Tampa Bay defensive coordinator Todd Bowles.
You have one final day to enter the Wingo Cup contest and win a chance to join us at Whistling Straits. Plus, will the Bucks add to an impressive NBA record? Richard Jefferson and Tim Legler join us. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help you troubleshoot the likely issue. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. And now's the time to keep your engine running clean with Seafoam Motor Treatment, only $6.99. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
We welcome you back in at 5:03. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as great local programs like this one. The Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will be back tomorrow. The Gym Class presented by Third Base Brewery. Coming up on Wednesday's Gym Class, it's a Caddy Smack Wednesday. So the guys will be talking golf for most of the program tomorrow. Tune in at 3 o'clock. We are talking Jordan Bohannon today here on all three of our frequencies, also heard on 106.3 in Iowa City and 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, anywhere online at kgymradio.com, where we are streaming. Poll question available for you today at kgymradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot, has to do with how Iowa moves forward in the wake of the Jordan Bohannon injury news. It's not necessarily an injury. He's going under the knife to clean up some issues with his hip that have been causing him a problem. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register, who joined us in the 4 o'clock hour, had the initial story today. The University of Iowa, about 20 minutes later, issuing a news release confirming Chad's story. He talked with Jordan Bohannon and got the inside scoop. He'll go under the knife tomorrow morning at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics and is out for 5 to 9 months at a minimum. And 5 months is going to be, I think, probably the best case scenario here, just to get back to the point where you can start to train and then knock off some of right. the rust.
Have no pain when you walk or run.
Yeah, I don't know what the rehabilitation process is going to be like from that standpoint. It's a long task to come back from. As you mentioned, talking to your friend who knows more about medicine than you and I do, because all we do is Google WebMD, the hip is a really serious part of the body to mess around with. Now, the good news here is Jordan Bohannon is young and a vital young man. Obviously, a lot of times when older people have hip issues, it can be very serious.
Right.
And so better that it's happening to somebody young who can bounce back here. But even somebody Jordan Bohannon's age is going to struggle with this particular procedure, which involves shaving some of the bone off his hip. And what did you say? Reattaching?
I believe reattaching the labrum. I'm not going to get too in-depth and say something stupid because I'm sure there are medical professionals out there listening, but that is a part of the body that it takes a lot for that labrum to break, to tear, and that's exactly what's happened here for Jordan Bohannon.
I'm trying to think of other bad things that could happen to the Iowa basketball program at this point. Joe Wieskamp is getting feedback from the NBA draft, and there's nobody in the world that expects him to remain in the NBA draft. Everybody knows or feels very strongly that he'll come back to school, I guess against all odds, he could get some sort of feedback that says, no, come to the NBA. Connor McCaffrey deciding that he's going to hang up his basketball sneakers and play exclusively baseball after a... What if he goes to... Is he... It's not in the Cape Cod League. He's playing somewhere this summer. I'm trying to recall which team he'll be with. It's actually in New York, close to Siena, where Fran McCaffrey once coached, if I recall correctly. College summer league, a lot like the Northwoods League, the Waterloo Bucks we have here in Eastern Iowa. Connor goes and blows up on the baseball scene and decides, yeah, you know what? This two-sport thing is going to hinder my MLB chance. Hypothetically speaking here, of course, future bad news that Iowa basketball fans should prepare themselves for. What do you got for us? 319-366-1600 on the Hertine and Stocker text line. Sometimes when the news is so disappointing and sad, you just have to get a little absurd here. So you can shoot us the crazy bad news Iowa basketball fans are going to have to brace themselves for by using the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. This is not ideal following the transfer of Isaiah Moss, understanding and acknowledging, of course, that these two players are not the exact same player, nor do they play the exact same position. But what did we say when Isaiah Moss left and there was that portion of the Iowa fan base out there that said, this isn't a big deal? Well, it's going to quickly become a big deal if something happens like an injury. I was talking in November and December. I wasn't in my wildest dreams thinking May 21st. But there you have it. So now your depth is, you take an even bigger blow here to your depth. And if you do move forward, if Patrick McCaffrey is redshirting, as the indications are, talking with Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register and hearing from some other people who I speak with regularly, you're really, really thin at that point. And I know a couple of the texters have said Cordell Pemsel can provide you some scoring. There's no guarantee that his body is going to hold up to playing an entire non-conference schedule in a 20-game Big Ten slate.
In fact, I'm not sure that you can necessarily count on that at all, because this is... Cordell Pemsel is somebody who, I think, even coming into college, you were wondering, is he ever going to be fully healthy? And the answer to most people, and really coming from Cordell at times, was no. He was not going to be fully healthy. Those knees were in really bad shape, and he was going to try to get through 4 or 5 years of basketball as best he could. So I think they want to keep him as that energy coming off the bench and maybe being a little bit different version of Nicholas Bear, not the same type of game, but accomplishing the same thing, bringing that spark and toughness off the bench. So you can't really count on him. And I, for one, have no idea what to expect from Jack Nungy. I have no idea what to expect
wild card
from CJ Frederick and Joe Toussaint. No idea whatsoever. And I expect that Patrick McCaffrey is going to redshirt.
Oh, man. The text line. Would you believe me if I told you that the text line is taking the absurd storylines and running with it? And we will get to some of them in just a little bit. But 6882 says Connor McCaffrey exclusively going to baseball would be a blessing. Not at this point. I hope. I never say I hope there's a radio that's not on, but there's one radio in particular in Iowa City that I hope wouldn't be on at that particular point, because they may hunt down 6882 and find you and hurt you. Connor McCaffrey's not a bad basketball player. I don't know how many times we have to say that on this program. Now, I do think that that's part of the reason why Isaiah Moss has chosen to call Fayetteville, Arkansas, home for his final season of eligibility.
I think it's a big reason, yes.
Outside of that, again, I go back to the game-winning shot at Rutgers, who made that incredibly accurate full-court pass for the final shot. It was Connor McCaffrey who made the inbound. There are some things that Connor McCaffrey does on the basketball court that are very, very good for this Iowa basketball team. And you're hemorrhaging players right now, and you're going to try to sit there and tell me that losing another one would be a good
thing? Losing the current starting point guard.
I mean, that's the case, right?
He is the starting point guard.
The starting point guard right now, if the season were to somehow miraculously start on the 21st of May.
Until further notice, Connor McCaffrey is the starting point guard for the Iowa basketball team.
Okay. I want to get to the text line here because I gave out the idea to come at us with hypothetical storylines that Iowa fans should brace themselves for the next round of bad news. And so many of them have come in. I had one. 8788 says Luka Garza's cyst comes back and starts at shooting guard. That would be the worst case scenario. I was hesitant to go that route because I don't want to make fun of Luka Garza. He had a 9-pound cyst removed from him, but then the rest of the part was so absurd. I've got to find the texter who threw this one out there. It was actually the very first one that came in, and it caught me so off guard that I almost lost it on the air, which very rarely happens. But Steve Alford replaces Fran McCaffrey as head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Brace yourselves. The next hypothetical bad headline for Iowa basketball, Steve Alford makes his triumphant return to the University of Iowa. 319-366-1600. If you've got some future bad news for the Iowa basketball program that fans can start preparing themselves for, you can share that hypothetical with us. 366-1600 on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line.
3252. Did we say that Connor McCaffrey is better than Isaiah Moss?
Those
never
words
absolutely never were uttered by either of us ever in the history of humanity. That never was said. What I'm saying
never.
Is he's the starting point guard for the Iowa basketball team right now. And you do not need to lose another point guard because if it's not Connor McCaffrey, who is going to start at point guard?
If you guys think Connor is better than Moss, you know less than you are even talking about. It's very important for many of you to realize where some of our listeners are coming from here. Why people say, man, sometimes you sound exasperated when you're talking about things that you say on the radio and discuss. That's part of the reason. What I said was Isaiah Moss is at Arkansas because I think he was tired of being out of the game in late game situations. I never said that one player was better than the other one. And I don't even have to ask, did I?
No.
I know for a fact.
But Todd, you mentioned texters and why we sound exasperated. Then they fully redeem themselves with texts like 8585. The next bad news that will be released.
The next bad headline for Iowa basketball is
ice cream is removed from Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Ooh. We may have to walk off on that one. I don't know how the Iowa fan base would react to that. 319-366-1600. I want to acknowledge the texters who are going the contract extension route, and by saying that, I am acknowledging you, and therefore I don't have to read your Fran McCaffrey gets another contract extension.
Well, there were multiple
text. There were
contract extension texts.
Yes. That was it should tell you a lot when that's the first thing that a number of the texters go to when we ask for bad news that fans should be girding themselves for. No one's going to top the Alford. Alford returns to Iowa City to replace Fran McCaffrey. It couldn't be any worse than Juwan Howard going to Michigan. My God, 319-366-1600 as we ready to bring you a segment with Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis. The Blues taking on the San Jose Sharks tonight in the Western Conference Finals, Game 6. A victory by St. Louis would propel the Blues back to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 1970 when they faced the Boston Bruins. We will have the Stanley Cup Final round action for you from start to finish, whether it's a four-game sweep or it goes seven right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600-5144. Knitting is banned inside Carver Hawkeye Arena. Library books. We can go the whole nine yards there. Someone is having fun with the Gary Dolphin saga, suggesting that it's so absurd, and then quoting verbatim exactly what happened not once but twice with Gary Dolphin. Gird yourselves. I guess nothing is off the table. It could happen. A third and final. Maybe Fran names Gary as the third assistant coach, along with Sherm Dillard.
Now that would be a turn of events.
And Kirk Spiroff, and that's how they wind up patching things up and making nice.
Is Gary going to be the defensive guru?
We'll ask Gary the next time he's on the program with us whether he would accept a spot on Fran's coaching staff.
42-33 has the best glass half full text of the day.
Okay, let's end this half-hearted segment on something where it's glass half full as opposed to the pitcher being half empty.
We will not have to complain about Fran's substitutions because no one will be on the bench.
That's not good for this business. I don't know whether I want that or not. A controversy-free, but I know where the...
Well,
I've been around this fan base long enough to know that they'll find something, whether there's any merit to complaining about it or not. But Fran McCaffrey, he's not going to have Riley Till going on scholarship for this next season is not a huge deal. But now you're in the territory where you're going to be counting on either Till or a walk-on.
Till is going to provide a very important depth for this team, and he's going to play, you would think, 10-plus minutes per game.
Bring back the gray team of Dr. Tom Davis. You never know. That was my very first Iowa basketball game that I went to when I was a kid. My aunt and uncle took me to a game, and I can't even remember who the opponent was, but since I was tagging along with them, I'm assuming that it was some crappy non-conference opponent that oftentimes littered the non-conference schedule when Tom Davis was the head coach at Iowa. But it got to the point where the gray teamers got in, and that building would just explode when it was time to root for somebody where you had to have the program to know who it was, and people wanted to see him start chucking up three-pointers, and we're this close. Maybe some open tryouts at the Fieldhouse. 519, we'll take a quick timeout. Before we do that, though, we're going to get Kyle to come get us a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander, their showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Whether you've got a construction project or a do-it-yourself project, big or small, this summer season, the folks at Alexander Lumber can make sure that you get your project done right. Alexander Lumber, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City, and as we mentioned, Answers by Alexander, located on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
The offseason, frankly, has not been good to the Iowa basketball team, and things went from bad to worse this afternoon when Chad Lystico reported that senior point guard Jordan Bohannon is going to have hip surgery and acknowledges a possibility that he's going to miss the entire upcoming season. The operation scheduled for tomorrow morning would be to shave bone off of his right hip and repair a labral tear, and his timetable to return is between 5 and 9 months. The front end of that window would potentially bring him back for the beginning of the season, but with any sort of delay, Bohannon says he would likely take a redshirt season and return the following year. As of now, the Hawkeyes would enter the season with a backcourt consisting of Joe Wieskamp, Connor McCaffrey, redshirt freshman C.J. Frederick, and incoming freshman Joe Toussaint. The Iowa baseball team got some much-needed positive news today, being that closer Grant Leonard was named an All-Big Ten second-teamer. He was a perfect 13-for-13 in save situations, second most in the Big Ten, and seventh nationally, and tied for Iowa's single-season record. He and the Hawkeyes began their fight for a postseason berth in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow against top-seeded Indiana. We're starting to get our first looks at some preseason top 25s for the upcoming football season. Athlon Sports recently ranked the Hawkeyes 18th, the sixth-ranked team in the Big Ten behind Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Nebraska, while the Cyclones were 24th, third in the Big 12 behind Oklahoma and Texas. Athlon also pegged 9 Hawkeyes as preseason all-conference selections, led by A.J. Epinesa and Alaric Jackson as first-teamers, along with Amir Smith-Marset as a returner. Pro Football Focus, meanwhile, ranks Iowa 10th, behind only Ohio State, and Iowa State 21st, again behind Oklahoma and Texas. Tonight after the show, it's Game 4 of the Bucks and Raptors on the South and Main gyms, and at 8:30, the Twins and Angels on the North gym.
Corey in Urbana on the Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Steve Alford comes back as the athletic director and hires Todd Licklider to coach men's basketball. That would never happen, as absurd as it is, and here's why I can guarantee you that would never happen. Because if Steve Alford were hired as the athletic director at Iowa and he had to hire a men's basketball coach, he'd hire one of his kids.
Or himself.
Have you seen the staff he put together at Nevada? Craig Neal, his longtime right-hand man, Noodles, is on it. His son is a part of the staff, and the son of his agent is part of the staff. You want to talk about a coach with a shrinking group of close confidants. That's about as mafia-esque as you can get. The inner circle for Steve Alford is shrinking and shrinking as he goes from UCLA to Nevada. 319-366-1600. We appreciate the interaction. That truly was sort of spontaneous there. It was not anything that I had been planning on, and you, the listener to the program, just sort of grabbed that and ran with it. And I'm trying to top Steve Alford coming back as a headline to brace yourself for was setting the bar really high at the onset there. But many of you lived up to your end of the bargain. 5:23, here's what's going to happen. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Chris Raby, who normally is talking St. Louis Cardinals baseball with us here, is going to give us the lowdown on Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals between the Sharks and the Blues tonight. Chris is the pre- and post-game host for KMOX in St. Louis. And after we finish chatting with Chris, we're going to reward you with a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Just 20 minutes away, thereabouts, give or take, from taking home $30 in delicious Mexican food and beverages from one of La Cantina's three Eastern Iowa locations. All that and more on the way as the 5 o'clock hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this. Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Hit the greens in support of Make-A-Wish Iowa. Sign up today for the Cedar Rapids Sunrise Rotary's Wish Upon a Par, May 23rd at Hunter's Ridge Golf Course. Enjoy 18 holes with a noon shotgun start, followed by dinner, a silent auction, and more.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels play at noon tomorrow, so take off work and spend the afternoon with the Colonels. Enjoy our noon game lunch combo of a sandwich, snack, and soda or beer for just $8.50. Get tickets at Colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After dropping games 1 and 2, the Raptors respond with a huge Game 3 win at home. Will the Bucks bounce back?
Coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on a Tuesday, a big Tuesday for at least one member of the show. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South Gyms and North Gym, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Stick with us. We've still got an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Is that, I'm not up on my blues, is that an Alexander Steen sweater?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The so blues. You're up on your blues.
Now, is it because you share the same first name, or is there a reason behind it?
No, this was just a Christmas gift a couple of years ago, and I have a few sweaters, and
you
this
do.
Is the one I chose today.
I thought you'd go with Tarasenko tonight, but the Blues hosting the Sharks for Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. St. Louis could advance to its first Stanley Cup final since 1970. With us on the program now, the pre- and post-game host for Blues coverage on KMOX in St. Louis. Normally you hear him with us talking Cardinals baseball, and maybe we'll get to the Cardinals in a little bit. But Chris Raby of KMOX, I imagine you're dialed in on the Blues right now. The Cardinals are sort of an afterthought.
Yeah, it's been pretty incredible here in St. Louis, guys, to see the run that this team has been on, to go from, you know, the worst team in the league as the calendar flipped to January of 2019 to now being one game away from, as you said, yeah, their first cup final since 1970. So it's been a pretty incredible ride. Everyone in the city's pretty fired up and looking forward to 7 o'clock.
What is the mood like around town? I know what it's like for me, but this is uncharted territory for so many people.
Yeah, it's excitement. And I think that a lot of that has to do with just this team and the way they've gone about it. I think that, you know, Alex, you obviously know that the Blues have a way of really not just, I guess, ending their season every year, and the season ends in disappointment for every team except the last one standing, but for doing it in some of the most spectacular and heartbreaking fashion possible, it seems. And for a team that's been around since, you know, now more than 50 years and have a pretty incredible track record in the regular season and in making the playoffs, it just has never really worked in the playoffs. And there have been teams that, you know, I think on paper have been as good, if not better than the teams that go on to win the cup. That's just not the way it works in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But this team, to go from, you know, a coaching change to being at the bottom of the NHL, literally the worst team in the NHL points-wise on January 3rd, I believe, to now being in the Western Conference Final, I think that, you know, people feel like it's different. They have won some pretty incredible games and overcome some pretty incredible odds over the last few months and even in this postseason. So I think the feeling is excitement. And, you know, I've only been here now 5 or 6 years, but instead of maybe feeling like the other shoe is going to drop at some point, you know, even when you were down 3-2 in the Dallas series, when you were down 2-1 in this San Jose series, when you were down 2 goals in Game 5 in the Winnipeg series, I think people just believe that this team is different, and they just continue to win and respond and really give people something, I think, to believe in.
To your point about how this team is different and how they respond, I want to go back to Game 3 and the hand pass. And for me, at least, the way that they responded after the game to the media and not lashing out and not showing their frustration told me a lot about how this team moves on. Did it do the same for you?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we heard that literally from every guy. And they turned the page and were fantastic in Game 4 at home. And then I think played maybe the best hockey game that I've really seen a team that I follow play, considering the magnitude of the game on Sunday afternoon in Game 5 in San Jose, just a complete domination. And then you think about San Jose doing nothing but moaning and complaining about the officials after Game 5, which I find just kind of comical, considering some of the calls that they've been on the right side of this point in the postseason. So, yeah, I think that, you know, they moved on. They said, nothing we can do about it. The call was made. We've just got to regroup and go and win Game 4. And that's really all that they've had to do and all that they've done since, you know, January, when they've literally been playing almost every game like it's a playoff game. So, yeah, I think the response off the ice in the locker room was great. I think the response in games four and then game five, when they really just, you know, almost embarrassed San Jose, was even better.
Getting ready for Blues-Sharks game six tonight with Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis. Now, you did reference the franchise's long history of heartbreaking and spectacular miserable finishes to the season. So is there still some trepidation among this fan base that this isn't quite in the bag just yet?
I don't think so. Just maybe, and I'm sure that if they get down tonight in a couple of hours or if it goes to overtime, it's just the nature of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? Like, you're so on edge the entire time that nothing is a given. And we saw the Sharks, again, come back from being down, what, 3-0 in the third period against Vegas. So, again, nothing is a given, but they're just playing so well. And I think the biggest difference, and where you get all of your confidence from, is Jordan Binnington. I mean, I'm not sure the Blues have ever really had a goaltender like this. You don't get nervous that, you know, all of a sudden you're going to be down 2 or 3-0. That could happen, but you don't think it's going to be because of the play of the goaltender. And they just really haven't had that guy as long as I've been here. You maybe go back to like Curtis Joseph, I guess, but they really haven't had that guy in a long while. And he's been the reason that they are in the position that they're in right now. He's the reason that they got back into the playoff picture. And he's the reason that I think a lot of people feel really confidently, because when you have a goaltender and you've got that kind of security blanket, you feel like, you know, even if you have a lapse or even if something doesn't go your way, you're going to remain in the game because of his play.
Among sports stories that you've seen, a guy like Jordan Binnington, who was a backup in San Antonio in the AHL earlier this season, has been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL since he's come up and has led this run to at least one win away from being in the Stanley Cup final. I guess it's shocking. Where does it rank? A guy that is just so unflappable in any situation and doesn't budge in the face of pressure.
Yeah, and I think it's almost hard to come up with a comparison because, you know, people in St. Louis have said, like, maybe Kurt Warner when he came out of the scene for the Rams. But, you know, that team was already a team with really high expectations and future Hall of Famers. And, you know, when you're a quarterback, you still have to rely on your defense. So you still have to rely on, you know, the rest of your offense, right? Or if you're a pitcher that comes out of nowhere, I don't really know if there's a comparison off the top of my head, but even like Clayton Kershaw, you know, he can only pitch every 5 days, right? I think it's so unique in hockey that a goaltender can literally change and dictate the entire success or struggles of a team. And I think because of that, not just his play on the ice, but his demeanor off the ice, it's kind of hard to make a comparison. He's such a, I think, breath of fresh air in the way he goes about it. He's the same guy all the time. You could, you know, be chatting with him after a practice or after a morning skate and not know if it was this morning with one game to get to the Stanley Cup final or if it was, you know, a day after a loss or a day after a game in February. He's kind of the same guy. And I know fans might roll their eyes sometimes hearing that, but it really, really is true. So in terms of stories and guys I've covered, I mean, it came out of nowhere so fast to the point that I think people are still kind of wrapping their heads around it. But he's been as good as anyone in the league. I know that sometimes it's hard to quantify or define what, you know, a most valuable player means to a team, but I can make the argument that he should be the most valuable player in the NHL right now. I could.
Doug Armstrong is a name that at times has been much maligned by the segment of the fan base, and he's the general manager of the Blues for our Eastern Iowa listeners who don't know. But the Ryan O'Reilly trade, the Ryan Reeves trade where they got Oscar Sundquist, Braden Schenn they acquired for Jori Lehterä in a first-round pick, some of these trades that he's made recently have been comical steals in the Blues' favor. How good is it to see finally the roster that he built pay off?
Yeah, and how about some of the trades he didn't make? Like standing pat this year at the trade deadline.
Right.
When a lot of people said, you know, maybe this team should bottom out and should try to get in the Jack Hughes sweepstakes. You know, not entertaining deals for guys with expiring contracts like Jay Bomeister, who they re-signed, or Pat Maroon, has become just such a linchpin who I hope will be back. Or not entertaining offers for guys like Jaden Schwartz or Vladimir Tarasenko. I mean, he's done just about everything right. And ultimately, you know, the front office can only make so many moves, and then it's up to the players to execute. And, you know, I think that Armstrong put together a team that was met with a lot of understandable excitement this summer, and then it just wasn't working. But, you know, to make the deals, like you said, for O'Reilly and Shen, and to sign Bozak and bring Perron back, and, you know, to not move Robert Thomas, or to not move, you know, some of the other young players that they have. You mentioned the Reeves trade. He deserves a lot of credit. He's a finalist for General Manager of the Year, I think, for good reason. And, again, it's standing pat and having belief in his team. It's really easy to say that you believe in your team, but, you know, I can't even imagine some of the discussions that were going on behind closed doors in January and some of the names that were on the table and some of the teams that may have approached the Blues. They traded Kevin Shattenkirk. They traded Paul Stastny when those guys' contracts were coming up and it was clear they weren't going to re-sign here, and they still remained competitive. I mean, they got to the second round after trading Shattenkirk and were in it until the last day of the season last year after trading Stastny. So I give him a ton of credit. He's put together a remarkable team, and more than anything, I think he's put the faith in the coach after making the decision to get rid of Mike Yeo. He's put the faith in Craig Berube to coach that team.
Chris, Alex has said a number of times that as much love as St. Louis gets as a baseball mecca, that he really thinks his hometown is a hockey town. What is St. Louis going to be like if it hosts the Stanley Cup Finals?
Insane. I can't even imagine. I mean, it's you're right on the money. It's obviously an incredible baseball town, but just the passion by Blues fans and the, I guess, just scars that they have from some really, really brutal losses and some really brutal ends to seasons. It's remarkable. And I just think hockey and the Stanley Cup playoffs are unlike anything else. Like, you can be in the World Series game seven, and the first inning is still the first inning of a baseball game, right? Like, it's still the same thing. Even if, you know, the stakes are higher and the emotions are higher, it's still the first inning of a baseball game. You can say the same thing for the NBA and, you know, the NFL. College football, I guess maybe the first quarter would take 2 hours rather than 45 minutes. But it's still the same thing, and hockey is just not that way. And you can feel that in this fan base and every time you walk into that rink. And, you know, you think about it. Like, there are people that are, you know, in their 40s that have never seen the Blues in a Stanley Cup final. It's remarkable. I mean, it's 49 years now since they've been there. And back then, the league was a ton different. Like, they got there because they were one of the new teams and they got their tails whipped by one of the original six teams. That's what happened the three times they got there. And it's just, you know, I think unlike anything that I've ever really experienced, because there is not the past success to draw on or to say, yeah, you know, I can't wait till we see this again, or I can't wait till they get back there. They've never been there, you know, in the modern era. So, again, I know you still got to win a game, and if people believe in, you know, talking about it on the radio can jinx something, then God bless you. Maybe don't watch the game tonight, but you know, as you guys point out, like, I get giddy just thinking about it because I'm so happy for the fans and so happy for the alumni. And guys who have been part of this organization since the start, and all the employees, the ushers that have been there forever, who bleed with this team and cry with this team. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, I think even more so this year because of where they came from. It's been a remarkable ride. I think tonight will be a hell of a night, and just pretty exciting that they got an opportunity to do something that hasn't been done in 50 years.
Now let's talk about tonight's game. I think a lot of the confidence from the Blues and the Blues fans are what they've done to the Sharks and just sort of the injuries and the carnage factor that the Sharks are going through. We don't know if Erik Karlsson is going to play or Joe Pavelski or some of their other players are going to play. How important is it going to be for the Blues to end this tonight and not give the Sharks any hope?
Yeah, I think so, just because you know, you've got a chance to close a series out, and you know, you never want to keep it going. The Blues are on the other side of this, you know, in Dallas, where they had to go in on a Sunday afternoon and win to get a series back to St. Louis for a game seven. But, you know, I just think they're playing great hockey right now. I think that, like I said, last game was maybe one of the best that I've seen. They're the healthier team. I think they're the more disciplined team, in a lot of different areas. And, yeah, you know, and important. You don't want to get back on a plane tomorrow and go back to Northern California. So huge if you can do it tonight. On the flip side, you do have to give credit to San Jose. They've been in this situation now, what, three or four times this postseason, and they're still alive. So it won't be easy. Certainly, I think everyone realizes why San Jose is here and the group of guys that they have as well. But you know, to be on home ice and have a chance to close this thing out tonight, I'm not sure you could draw it up any better.
Chris, we appreciate you having joining us here in Eastern Iowa. And I don't even want to get into the Cardinals right now. I just want to revel in the Blues here for the moment. But we got plenty of time to talk baseball later on in the summer. Game 6 tonight. Have fun. Enjoy it. And we may be touching base, talking Stanley Cup Finals with you, not to jinx anything.
Love it. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis. And there you have it. He agrees with you. You think that that's an unpopular opinion.
It is.
I know I've seen you share it a number of times, but he says that it's going to be absolutely crazy there, that St. Louis is indeed a hockey town over a baseball town.
Well, I mean, think about this. The Cardinals have 11 World Series championships.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm not trying to bring this up, okay? And the fan support is roughly the same for the Blues, who have been around since 1967 and have never won a Stanley Cup and have not been to the final since the league was split into the original six and we'll call it the expansion six. So they won the expansion side of the league in 1967, 68, 69, and 70, or is the first 3 years, I should say, and then got swept in all three series in the Stanley Cup final. That was the last time they've been back to the Stanley Cup final. And the support is roughly the same. So I think that tells you a lot about that city. And I mean, you think back 4 years when, what was it, like six players in the first round of the NHL draft were from the city of St. Louis. Hockey is very popular in that city.
You have referenced it already. Pavelski, Hurdle, and Carlson are all, I guess, questionable for tonight. I know San Jose did not want to tip its hand as to who was going to be on the ice, but it sort of seems like it's now or never because
right.
You've got San Jose. You whipped them in game five,
right.
5-0. They're not at full strength. If you don't do it tonight, and this goes seven, and we both know hockey, especially in the playoffs, where anything can happen if you go to a game seven, I don't want to say tonight's do or die, but there's a lot of pressure, and yet there's not. You heard Chris saying that these guys are kind of skating free and easy right now going into this game tonight, which, by the way, for those of you who are not Alex, you may not know, it is a 7 o'clock faceoff on NBC Sports tonight. And yes, the Blues behind a hat trick from Jordan Schwartz in Game 5 with that 5-0 victory over San Jose, now poised after a victory tonight to advance to take on the team that they last faced in the Stanley Cup Finals, the Boston Bruins.
In 1970.
If I didn't know any better, I'd think you were describing the NHL version of the Chicago Cubs there, a franchise that for almost its entire existence has been awful, but yet the fans still show up for it.
See, and I think it's a little different because the Rams, people ask me how frustrating it was being a St. Louis Rams fan. It's way more frustrating being a Blues fan because you think that you have a chance to win something. You get in the playoffs 44 of 55 years or whatever it's been, and you think that you have a chance to advance. And it's been the most heartbreaking fashion in playoff situations to lose the way that they have. Whereas the Rams were so bad for a decade, you didn't necessarily allow yourself to get as invested as you have in the Blues. So I that's why I say it's such a unique situation with the Blues, where they've been good, but not good enough to get over the hump for so long. And there are a few, the Utah Jazz sort of come to mind in the NBA, but other than that, there just aren't that many teams or organizations in the same situation that have experienced the same things as the Blues.
We did an entire segment with Chris, and Laura Branigan's name didn't even come up once. And I think probably the happiest person in St. Louis about the Blues' success right now is probably named Mike Schilt.
Yeah, or John Mozeliak.
St. Louis is, not that they don't care about the Cardinals' slide recently, but they've got Blues fever, and it shows no sign of subsiding anytime soon. We mentioned we had that $30 gift card to La Cantina going into the start of the interview. Let's just go ahead and give it away now. 319-366-1600. Your chance to take home $30 in delicious Mexican food from one of their three locations, the one in Marion, downtown Cedar Rapids, or the location in the Fountains off Edgewood. La Cantina 319 is the website. You can check it out before you go. Party rooms available for your next big outing, maybe a family get-together, a late graduation party. And speaking of graduation parties, don't forget, La Cantina can handle all your catering needs. 366-1600. We'll find out who caller number six is when we return after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM, and are you in search of that perfect cheeseburger? Well, look no further than Buffalo Wild Wings. Yes, you heard me. Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm speaking, of course, about the new All-American Cheeseburger. Two fresh, never-frozen patties covered in gooey American cheese and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And when, while you're trying to watch Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA or Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can enjoy one of the dozens of beer options offered at Buffalo Wild Wings. Get the new All-American Cheeseburger today at B-Dubs. And as always, please drink responsibly.
The following is an emergency announcement from Skechers. You're paying too much for shoes. $175 for Nike or Adidas? That's a national disaster. You don't have to pay a lot for world-class performance and comfort. Edward Cheserek just had the 5K world record wearing Skechers. I could go on, but you need to hear about comfort. They've got Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam footbeds across their lineup. You'll feel like you're walking on clouds for less. Find Skechers at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
This isn't just the sound of an Amazon box. It's the Amazon box that turns your backyard into the neighborhood pool party. And this is the Amazon box that helps your kids go from training wheels to full-on daredevils. And this Amazon box turns you into a barbecue legend. This is the sound of summer in a box. Amazon's got everything you need this summer for your home, garden, and more.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
The NTT IndyCar Series roars to life once again at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's the 103rd running of the greatest spectacle in racing.
The word has always been that the 3.2 million bricks here reach out and they select their winner each year. Could it be that they reached into Australia in the form of willpower?
Listen this Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
The 103rd Indianapolis 500, Sunday at 10 on KGYM.
5:50, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, along for the ride, our South and North Gym frequencies, and online at KGYMRadio.com, where you can stop and vote in our poll question today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. I have not checked the responses. If they're not 100%, I question our listeners at this point, but it has to do with whether or not the Iowa basketball team needs to go get a graduate transfer given the circumstances surrounding Jordan Bohannon. And of course they do. Of course they need to try to go get a graduate transfer at this point. Nobody else is going to do him any good.
If one is available.
One, two, three. I mean, Fran McCaffrey is looking under every possible rock at this point. It's very late in the game, unfortunately, but bad news today with Jordan Bohannon being sidelined, most likely being sidelined for all of the upcoming season, depending on how he wants to handle or approach his rehabilitation. It's 5:52. We anticipate being joined here shortly, hopefully, by our good friend and colleague Steve Kane here at KGYM. Steve is at the Cedar Rapids Marriott with his son tonight. A big Iowa State backers, the Cyclone Tailgate Tour making its way to Eastern Iowa. Its annual stop here in Cedar Rapids. The event got underway at 5:30 tonight. Jamie Pollard in town, along with pretty much every high-profile Iowa State coach, Matt Campbell, Steve Prohm, Bill Fennelly. I'm not sure whether Kevin Dresser is along for the ride or not, but a free event open to the public. If you're an Iowa State fan, you probably still have some time to get there and catch the tail end of things, maybe get some autographs, schedule posters, pictures with the cheerleaders, things of that nature as the Cyclones try to make an imprint a little bit larger here in the eastern part of the state. You hear John Rogers say all the John Walters say all the time that he enjoys coming on with us during football season and basketball season at 4:30 on Mondays, and there's a reason for that. They like to be on the air here in what most people would refer to as Hawkeye territory, Big Ten country, Eastern Iowa. 5:53, your texts and phone calls welcome on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Do I see this? Does the text line have this right? 9406 says that the Cubs and Cardinals are in town next weekend. Should the Blues be advancing to the Stanley Cup Final?
So the NHL has already announced when the Stanley Cup Final will start, no matter whether it ends tonight or on Thursday. It will be on Monday night, the Memorial Day evening at 7 p.m. So the first two games will be in Boston, Monday and Wednesday. The next two games will be Friday and Sunday in whatever hometown of either San Jose or St. Louis. So if the Blues were to finish things off...
You can go ahead and say St. Louis, Alex. Go ahead and say...
I'm just knocking on wood. If the Blues were to finish this off, then yes, the games 3 and 4 would be Friday and Sunday in St. Louis during the Cubs-Cardinals series.
Good God. Is there a way to buy stock in Ballpark Village right now? Can I get in on a little bit of that action?
Because possibly.
Those bars and restaurants are going to be making money hand over fist. Cubs, Cardinals, and the Stanley Cup Final possibly going on at the same time. You can't say St. Louis is boring after that, can you?
Cubs, the Chicago fan base, the St. Louis fan base, and the Boston fan base all represented in downtown St. Louis in one night.
319-366-1600. How nervous are you?
Very.
This seems to be setting up way too easily here.
I know.
Pavelski's a game-time decision, but the other two characters are out of the picture at this point. We caught up with Chris Raby earlier in the day, by the way. That's why there was still some question as to whether or not San Jose would be anywhere near full strength for this game tonight. They're not, and this is coming off a 5-0 Blues victory in Game 5 in which Jordan Schwartz had a hat trick. So this is all setting up a little bit too easily for St. Louis Blues fans tonight. And I think, as you just said, that's why you're cautiously optimistic here. This one feels too easy, doesn't it?
It does. And I've never been in this position before as a Blues fan, ever. They were in the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago. And they were in the Western Conference Finals, I want to say, in 2003. Don't quote me on that. They got blasted by Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic, and the Colorado Avalanche. And a couple years ago, I didn't feel like they were fully in that series against the San Jose Sharks. This time they have such a good chance, if they play their game, to finish this thing out tonight and get to the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 1970. It's completely uncharted territory. I've never been here before as a Blues fan.
Now, we cannot play the song due to copyright, but is it okay? Are we allowed to say the lyrics?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if we did, Gloria, you're always on the run now, running after somebody. You got to get him somehow. I think you've got to slow down before you start to blow it. I think you're headed for a breakdown, so be careful not to show it. Gloria. Na, 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 na. That's a little bit too close to what Mark Dukes has been doing on the Gym Class recently, giving away tickets to
DJTV.
See Disturbed at the U.S. Cellular Center. Your opportunity to take home another pair of tickets tomorrow by listening to Disturbed or Disturbed Poet as Mark takes a dip into Disturbed lyrics or poetry. So far, they've both been Disturbed lyrics, correct?
So I believe so.
So if I'm playing the percentages tomorrow on a Wednesday afternoon in eastern Iowa, I would think I'd be leaning toward Poet. But you never know what Mark will have in store for you. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll set the table for what's in store coming up in the third and final hour of the show. Back with more after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you ever so momentarily as the 5 o'clock hour comes to a close. We'll check in and see what happened with Steve there. We were hoping to hear from him at the Cedar Rapids Marriott, trying to throw some love in the direction of our Iowa State listeners. But you know what? Many of them are probably already at the Cedar Rapids Marriott for the Cyclone Tailgate Tour this evening. I look forward to reading and hearing some of the coverage of that event as the Cyclones make their annual stop here. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, lots of baseball to get into with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. We'll touch on that aforementioned upcoming Cubs-Cardinals series and its overlap with a possible Stanley Cup Finals in St. Louis. And what's going on around the rest of the league, including what's ailing the St. Louis Cardinals. All that and more with Ed as he joins the program next, plus continued reaction to the loss of Jordan Bohannon for the upcoming basketball season, most likely redshirting the entire 2019-2020 campaign. It's all on the way when the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn returns after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Raptors and Bucks clash in Game 4 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Toronto hoping it can duplicate what it did in Sunday's win when Kawhi Leonard's matching up against Giannis Antetokounmpo limited the Milwaukee superstar to 12 points, 5 of 16 shooting. ESPN's Tom Thibodeau.
They were able to turn him over because I thought they made a stronger commitment to build walls and to double team him. But you can't lose sight of the fact that they put Kawhi on him to start the game. And I think that was a big factor as well. Now, the big question for me is how healthy will Kawhi be in tonight's game?
Tom Thibodeau on Golic and Wingo. Leonard dealing with a sore leg. Game 4 coverage, bottom of the hour. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Milwaukee leads that series 2-1. Trailblazers agreed on a multi-year extension with coach Terry Stotts. The first five picks of the 2018 NBA draft make up the 2019 All-Rookie First Team. Phoenix's DeAndre Ayton, Sacramento's Marvin Bagley III, Dallas's Luka Doncic, Memphis's Jaren Jackson, and Atlanta's Trae Young. The Sharks staring at elimination in Game 6 of the NHL's West Final without a couple of key players tonight. Injured defenseman Erik Karlsson and Tomas Hertl both out against the Blues. Captain Joe Pavelski is a game-time decision. NFL, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting, Buccaneers are finalizing a one-year contract with defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh. He'll replace Gerald McCoy, who was released yesterday. Baseball, Astros outfielder George Springer out tonight versus the White Sox with a back issue. Cubs shortstop Javi Baez, heel contusion, not in the lineup against the Phillies tonight. That game coming up on ESPN-TV.
Hey, it's Zagat. Join us Wednesday. No guests, no idea what we're going to talk about, but I'll be here, and I expect you to be here as well. Good? Good. That's Wednesday on the Dan Le Batard Show with me, Zagat, on ESPN Radio.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, but today hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire.
6:03, welcome back in. Third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM, 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as great local programming like this show. 1600, joined by 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gym frequencies on the FM dial, and online at KGYMradio.com, where we invite you to stop by and learn more about the Lunchbox Heroes event that Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will be manning tomorrow here in the corridor. Lunchbox Heroes brought to you by our good friends at Built by Pros, along with some other tremendous sponsors. And looks like the weather is going to be absolutely great tomorrow, which it was not earlier today. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are washed out tonight. They were supposed to be taking on the Burlington Bees, so no baseball at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They'll make up for it tomorrow with a doubleheader beginning at noon. Lots of talent on that Burlington squad. For those of you, if you're looking for a reason to play hooky from work, gates open at 11 o'clock. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, will get you another big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in just a little bit. But it's time for our bi-weekly chat with the one and only Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. And Ed, we haven't brought this up on the program yet today, but are you team Todd Frazier or Adam Eaton in this beef that flared up again last night?
I think they're both acting childish. I guess if I had to pick, I'd go team Eaton, because it seems like Frazier was the instigator. I think what's even hilarious is that nobody knows why, or they're not publicly saying why. So I think it's just childish, and Frazier for instigating it, and then Eaton saying, well, I've got to stick up for myself. Well, no, you don't. Just walk off the field and be done with it. Somebody has to be the bigger man, and it should probably be the shorter of the two, so I that's why I'm going team Eaton.
I'm just surprised that there's a ball player who makes millions of dollars who is still carrying a mortgage in 2019. I think he would pay that off, but they were teammates with the White Sox, and something happened. As you said, I don't think it's public, but they have not liked each other for a very long time. Speaking of the White Sox, you're in Chicago, located there. There's a lot of buzz as to whether or not the White Sox should call up Dylan Cease to fill the opening in their rotation. I think you and I know what they will wind up doing, but should they be considering bringing up Dylan Cease?
Again, when it comes to calling up prospects, if they're ready, if they have mastered the level, bring them up. Just But if it's just to fill a need, send them back down. I think most organizations, when you take a look at their prime prospects, when they call them up, they want them to remain up. So if Cease in the White Sox systemization has mastered Triple A and he has nothing left to prove at Charlotte, then, yeah, bring him up to Chicago, let him pitch the rest of the year. If it's just for a spot start and then send him back down, I don't think that really does anybody any good right now. You can accomplish the same thing in September.
The myriad of Tommy John surgeries within the White Sox organization, is it a trend or just a run of bad luck?
You cut out there, Alex. What was the question again?
I was going to say the myriad of Tommy John surgeries for pitchers in that White Sox organization, trend or just a run of bad luck?
I think it's just a run of bad luck. It just seems like every organization has an Achilles heel of some sort. And for the White Sox, it seems to be that their young pitching prospects are saddled with Tommy John surgeries. Take a look at the Cardinals. Every move they've made to bolster the bullpen over the last two or three years has just blown up in their faces. Whether it's the signing of Andrew Miller this year, Greg Holland last year, Luke Gregerson last year, acquiring Leon, signing Brett Cecil. Everything they did on paper made sense, but it's just blown up in their face. So I think this is just a string of bad luck for the White Sox. I don't think there's anything organizational that goes into it, because most teams now are going to the biometrics. They're taking an in-depth look at motion to determine what players are doing that may cause injuries, and they try to alter that, especially with pitchers. The Brewers are one of the first organizations to try to master that, to get ahead of the curve as far as preventing Tommy John surgeries and other crippling injuries like that.
Ed Creech with us from MLBTradeRumors.com. I want to get to last night's Cubs-Phillies game momentarily. The Yu Darvish-Jake Arrieta pitching matchup actually lived up to the hype last night. Both of those guys were really good. Unfortunately, the Cubs wind up blowing the game late. The bullpen couldn't secure the win, but the major storyline last night was the check swing from Andrew McCutchen, which should have ended the game. It was not called a strike. Joe Maddon thinks there's room for not necessarily robot umpires, but a way to bring technology in on checked swings. Do you think that's something MLB is close to considering or close to bringing to the forefront?
I know this of a couple of years ago. I was in a conference with Commissioner Manfred, and I brought up the idea of having an automated strike zone. His issue was the technology isn't there yet. That what you see on FoxTrack and every other pitching technology, by the time you get the zeroed in correct location of the pitch, it has to go like through three or four generations, and that's like 6 minutes. You can't do that. I even brought up the idea, well, what about miking the crew chief to get an explanation on replay?
We lose Ed?
We did.
We'll see if we can get Ed back on the phone line there. Must be a connection issue on his part. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. Javier Baez did not play last night for the Cubs. He is also out of the lineup again tonight, as he is day-to-day with that heel issue. Cubs and Phillies getting ready to actually, I believe they're now underway. 6:05 was the first pitch start time at Wrigley Field for Game 2 of that series. Jose Quintana and Zach Eflin, not to be confused with Zach Efron, on the mound tonight for the Phillies. Ed, we have you back there. You cut out, I believe you were at the very end of explaining your answer there, the questions that you were asking Rob Manfred.
Well, as far as using the technology for a strike zone, he said by the time you get to the third or fourth generation, which is the actual placement of the pitch, it's like 6 minutes. And with him, trying to reduce the pace of play, that's not workable. I even suggested, well, what about just miking crew chiefs to broadcast the result of instant replay? And he said, even again, when you're trying to eliminate seconds from the game, the 2 or 3 seconds it would take for a crew chief to explain the call, he wasn't willing to do. So as long as he is still insistent and speeding up the pace of play, reducing game time. I think anything replay-wise and technology-wise that will add even 30 seconds, 45 seconds, I don't think Manfred is going to be an advocate for it. I think you can have the technology for a check swing. I'm amazed, to be honest with you, that an umpire 90 feet away can tell whether or not the bat broke the plane of the home plate. I think it's one of the toughest calls in baseball to make from that angle. I think the technology could be there. We see it in the game of tennis as far as whether the ball is in or out on the line. So I think the technology can be adapted to baseball. But again, I just don't think Manfred right now, with his pace of play being his number one agenda item, anything that adds to the length of a game, replay-wise or technology-wise, I just don't think Manfred's going to be in favor of it.
For the Chicago Cubs, how important is it now that Chris Bryant, their star player, their cornerstone player, is turning a corner and returning to form?
I think it's huge. I when we talk about where the Cubs have been offensively this year, Bryant struggled, Rizzo struggled. They can't really find a leadoff hitter right now. They're trying Schwarber, who is batting under 200, in that leadoff spot. So I think anytime you can get the heart of your lineup, Bryant, if you can get him on base, if you can get him in front of Rizzo, in front of Baez, I think that just makes a much deeper lineup for the Cubs, especially with Contreras hitting as well as he is, a resurgent year for Jason Hayward. So I think if you can get the top, that middle part of the order, Bryant and Rizzo swinging the bat the way they are capable, what their history has indicated, I think that makes the Cubs a much tougher team offensively.
Ed Creech with us from MLBTradeRumors.com. Christian Yelich scratched with back spasms. Is this something that Brewers fans such as yourself should be concerned could be a lingering issue?
The reports out of Miller Park tonight say it's not a serious issue. Craig Counsell addressed the media before the game tonight, saying that Yelich's back just locked up on him. It wasn't in the course of baseball activities. He did have back issues earlier this year that made him miss a week of action, but they feel these back spasms are not as serious, and with a day game tomorrow and an off day on Thursday, it would not surprise me if Yelich is out tomorrow, takes the second day of the off day on Thursday, and could be back in the lineup on Friday night.
How important has the much better starting pitching been for the Milwaukee Brewers in their little surge here in May?
Oh, it's just been unbelievable. When you take a look at Gio Gonzalez, who's on the mound tonight, for the Brewers, his ERA is in the mid ones, 160, something like that. And it's like the fourth best over this stretch the last couple, 3 weeks for the Brewers on the team, not in baseball, but just on the team. And I think you got a good look at why the Brewers decided to go young, especially with Brandon Woodruff with that gem that he tossed on Saturday, the eight innings. Just threw a little over 90 pitches. It was just an outstanding performance for Woodruff. Gonzalez, Zach Davies has been able to evoke memories of Rick Maddux with his control and his command and having the second best ERA in the National League. So pitching's key. Pitching will always be good hitting. And right now that's what the Brewers are getting in their rotation. Now, again, they don't have an ace, but they have a rotation right now, three solid guys with Woodruff, Gonzalez, and Davies. A little less so, Shaheen and Anderson filling in the back of the rotation. But you got three solid guys who can get you 5, 6, and on a good night, 8 innings and keep you in the game with that offense that the Brewers may possess.
Ed Creech with us of MLBTradeRumors.com. It's May 21st. We're getting perilously close to that first managerial sacking of the season. I thought it might be Mickey Callaway, but it sounds like he's safe in New York. My money'd be on Davey Martinez right now in Washington. Who would you be betting on?
Well, the old adage is, once you receive the vote of confidence, your firing isn't far. And since Van Wagenen gave that vote of confidence for Callaway, I'm still wagering that he's the favorite right now. Until Mike Rizzo comes out and gives the vote of confidence for Martinez, I think he's a little bit safe. I think I also with Martinez, Rizzo realizes they've had some injuries. They just got back Trey Turner, who had missed most of the year. Rizzo realizes that bullpen is a mess that has nothing to do with Martinez. And I think they feel that they still have a core with Rendon, Robles. Soto's been hurt. Zimmerman's been hurt. So I think Rizzo realizes that injuries and just a bad bullpen put together by Rizzo himself has contributed to the start for the Nationals. And I think it's also in the back of Rizzo's head, the reputation Washington is receiving around baseball as far as going through managers quickly and being cheap in the negotiations. Remember, Bud Black famously turned down the Nationals' offer because they weren't paying what he felt a manager was worth. They didn't renew Dusty Baker. So I think Rizzo has in the back of his head that he wants to try to change the narrative on how Washington treats its managers. And I think he's going to give a little bit longer leash to Martinez. Considering the dysfunction that goes on in Queens, I still think Callaway's the first to go.
Yeah, let's talk about this dysfunction in Queens. Whether it's the Robinson Cano's hustle, Mickey Callaway, the Yoenis Cespedes breaking his ankle at his ranch, is there any fixing this organization? Because it seems like no matter who the general manager is, no matter who the manager is, no matter who is on the roster, the same issues preside.
Well, the fish rots from the head down. So I think if you ask any member of the Mets fan base, they're going to tell you that this organization will remain dysfunctional until the Wilpon sell. There's always a bunch of whispers and rumors and reports about just how Mets friendship Wilpon are. I just think it comes from the top down. When you take a look at the organizations that have been stable and that have shown excellence, there is continuity in the front office. Again, from ownership on down, you take a look at the Yankees with Steinbrenner and Cashman as a good example. If you want to go to the NFL with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, as long as you have that stability up front, ownership in front, without rough storms. And I think with the Wilpons, the issues they had financially this last decade, playing second fiddle to the Yankees in the largest media market, I just think that if the Mets are going to get back on solid footing, they need to have stable ownership that hires baseball people and let them make the baseball decisions. So they swung for the fences and not a box hire in Van Wagenen as the GM. We'll see how that pays off. But even when he was, making all the moves in the off season, I was a little tepid about that because you can't put together a major league roster like a fantasy baseball team. There has to be some chemistry. You have to build it from within. And if you're just picking up all-stars from around and trying to meld them together, that usually doesn't work, especially when you have a manager entering his second season.
Especially all-stars that used to be represented by you when you were an agent. Makes the Van Wagenen situation even more all the interesting there in Flushing.
Well, take a look at this. There's now reports out in New York about Cespedes and his fractured ankle that, depending on how his contract's written, if the Mets try to either rescind a portion of the contract or regain the salary they paid out, that means Cespedes' agent will have to forego some of his commission. Who's the agent? Van Wagenen. So this is where, when you do this kind of out-of-box hire, you have these entanglements and these conflicts that you may not see at the time, but will eventually rear their ugly head and just, again, feed into the narrative of dysfunction with the Mets.
Who's having the best rookie campaign that you think nobody is talking about or is getting overlooked at this point?
Oh, goodness gracious. That's a good – I'm going to go with Pete Alonso just because I think all the other nonsense that's going on in New York is really overshadowing what he's been able to do. When we talk about service time, and I'll give Van Wagenen credit for this. We've seen other franchises when they have these prospects play with the service time, try to manipulate it to either gain that extra year or to avoid Super 2 status. The Mets just said Alonso is our best first baseman. They called him up at the beginning of the year. They had him at the opening day roster. They've left him at first base, and he has simply just produced. I think he's an outstanding hitter. Reminds me a lot of David Wright. And I know that's a heavy burden to play on Alonso, but I think if he can remain healthy, I think this is going to be a cornerstone for the Mets, that if they can get the front office sorted out, guys like
Pete Alonso is who you build a franchise around. And I think that – so I would say that's the rookie that I've been most impressed with. It maybe hasn't received a lot of the attention yet, simply because of the dysfunction in New York. I like what Paddock's been doing in San Diego. Whenever you see a pitcher, a young pitcher, having such a great start, you hope that can continue. And let's see what happens in the American League. I slow starts from Guerrero and Jimenez. I'm excited just to see when they finally get into the groove, they get settled, and they actually start producing the way we expect them to. And it's, I think there's a lot of great young talent in this game. What we're seeing with Austin Riley, granted, just his first week out, but he's just been hitting everything left and right, including a couple of long balls. So I think there's a lot of great young talent in this game, and I think it's good for the game. So there we go with that. It's always good to be young.
If there was an award for manager of the first 2 months of the season, the manager of the year first 2 months of the season, could you give it to anyone other than Aaron Boone right now?
He would be my first choice, I'd give him co. I'd give co-managers of the year, regardless of the league. Aaron Boone, because of the amount of injuries that the Yankees have sustained and that they're in first place. And I also think you can't overlook what Rocco Baldelli has done. Granted, the Twins have always been an up-and-down team. But right now, Baldelli has got them on the upswing. They've won 11 of the last 15, and I think the job that he's done with the Twins right now, getting great performances in the rotation from Odorizzi, from a reclamation project in Martin Perez, Barrios is solid. Not as good as we think he can be, but he's been solid. So I think Aaron Boone, Danger Mark is probably getting more of the credit, but I think you cannot overlook the job Rocco Baldelli has done with the Twins this year.
Ed, always appreciate chatting with you, and who knows what's going to pop up on the radar over the next 14 days before we touch base with you again. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com, and you heard it there from the resident Brewers fan himself. Those Christian Yelich back spasms, nothing to worry about at this point. I always worry. It's always concerning when you're talking about a home run hitter, a slugger, and back spasms, because you can't really take any time off to heal your back up when swinging a baseball bat is an extremely violent. There's a lot of torque in that on your back. So that's something that can become a lingering issue or a lead to an even longer stint on the bench. But Yelich out of the lineup tonight for the Brewers. Ed says it doesn't sound like it's much to worry about if you're a Milwaukee fan. They are taking on Cincinnati at Miller Park. That game is yet to get underway. Lots of action, though, already started. Oakland on top of Cleveland 3-2. Colorado and Pittsburgh are scoreless. Probably a good thing that is at PNC Park. Did you see Coors Field today? Covered in snow.
My dad's in Denver. My dad's in Denver right now. And he sent me pictures last night of the snow piling up in Denver. And I have a friend who lives about an hour and a half north of Denver in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So they are getting hit with a very late season snowstorm. And let's just say the people there are not too thrilled about it.
Does Kuhn's dad like cheese?
He does.
He does like cheese. My cousin runs a cheese shop, an artisanal cheese shop in Denver. Maybe I'll have to shoot you the information.
I'll have to tell him about
Kuhn's
it.
Dad can go get some cheese. While he's in Denver. I saw it's beautiful, the diamond covered in snow. It looks like something that you would see around here in December or January, but good timing to have the Rockies on the road. Philadelphia and Chicago scoreless. That would be the Chicago Cubs, not the White Sox. Baltimore and New York. The Yankees love playing the Orioles at Camden Yards this season.
And why wouldn't they?
And exactly. I don't know what the point is at this point if you're Baltimore, but they're down 3-0 already in the bottom of the first inning. Boston and Toronto scoreless after one inning. There's anger in the country of Canada because Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did not play on Canada Day, which is apparently a thing. Maybe Sonny in Iowa City is listening and can tell us this, but they're equivalent, I guess, to the 4th of July, and there's some consternation as to Vladimir Guerrero getting a day off on this day that's very important two Canadians. Charlie Montoyo, the new manager there, is getting some guff.
That's anti-Canadian.
Well,
why would you do something like that? You're not going to play your future star, your star right now. Canada Day?
Here's the deal on that, if I recall correctly.
What in the Tim Hortons is going on right now?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is Canadian. He was born in Canada. He has dual citizenship between the Dominican Republic and the nation of Canada. The Dodgers are on top of Tampa Bay, 1-0. Same score in Detroit as the Marlins are beating the Tigers. Ron Gardenhire is a dark horse candidate. He could just quit. He may not be fired. He could just say, I'm tired of dealing with this crap. The Tigers are awful this year. And the Nationals and the Mets scoreless after one. With all those headlines yesterday, all of the drama surrounding the Mets, and this is why betting on baseball is a really bad idea. A friend of mine put down a sizable wager on Washington. Patrick Corbin was throwing for the Nationals last night. What happens? The Mets win 5-3. Don't bet on baseball, especially if your last name is Pete Rose. 6:26, we will take a quick timeout. When we return, Kyle will join us. He'll have a final big board update for you tonight. And then we'll wrap up over the final 25 minutes of the program. NBA discussion, NHL discussion, and of course, Jordan Bohannon and his loss, what it means for the Hawkeyes moving forward. Back with more after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, hey, Pat, hi, Pat, how you doing? Thanks for coming in today. That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the how can we help you feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in and sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany, I work with John Rodriguez, I've worked with numerous people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh my goodness. I put them in top, at top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Oh, Disturbed, the Evolution Tour. October 9th.
Are you ready?
U.S. Cellular Center.
Get up, get up.
New album, Evolution, out now. Special guest. In This Moment. Disturbed, live.
Darkness, my own.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels play at noon tomorrow, so take off work and spend the afternoon with the Colonels. Enjoy our noon game lunch combo of a sandwich, snack, and soda or beer for just $8.50. Get tickets at Colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
It's spring cleaning time, and the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency is your one-stop drop-off for garbage and recycling. The Landfill and Resource Recovery Building on County Home Road is open 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday, so you can avoid the lines on Saturday by stopping in during the week. And remember, to help keep our roads clean, safe, and avoid getting a big fine, cover your load. Thank you for helping keep garbage off our streets. Need more info about garbage and recycling? Just go to solidwasteagency.org.
After dropping games 1 and 2, the Raptors respond with a huge Game 3 win at home. Will the Bucks bounce back?
Coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock on the Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
6:30, we welcome you back in, and you heard the ad for the road trip. We will be at Mulligan's on Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Stop on out. We'll have some tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels in action. They will not be in action tonight. First pitch was supposed to be at 6:35. The rain has washed out tonight's contest against the Burlington Bees, so doubleheader tomorrow at the ballpark. Gates open at 11 o'clock. It was a previously scheduled noon game, so the Colonels are sticking with that 12 o'clock start time. And 2 7-inning games on tap with the Bees and the Colonels tomorrow. 6:31, perfect opportunity to bring Kyle into the studio for our final Big Board update of the night. Big Board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City, soon to move in to their new permanent location. But for right now, you can still catch them at 2802 Independence Drive.
The offseason, frankly, has not been good to the Iowa basketball team, and things went from bad to worse this afternoon when Chad Lystico reported senior point guard Jordan Bohannon is going to have hip surgery and acknowledges the possibility he might miss the entire upcoming season. The operation scheduled for tomorrow morning would be to shave bone off of his right hip and repair a labral tear, and his timetable to return is between 5 and 9 months. The front end of that window would potentially bring him back for the beginning of the season, but with any sort of delay, Bohannon says he would likely take a redshirt season and return the following year. As of now, the Hawkeyes would enter the season with a backcourt consisting of Joe Wieskamp, Connor McCaffrey, redshirt freshman C.J. Frederick, and incoming freshman Joe Toussaint. The Iowa baseball team got some much-needed positive news today, being that closer Grant Leonard was named an All-Big Ten second-teamer. He was a perfect 13-for-13 in save situations, second most in the Big Ten, seventh nationally, and tied for Iowa's single-season record. And the Hawkeyes begin their fight for a postseason berth in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow against top-seeded Indiana. We're starting to get our first looks at some preseason top 25s for the upcoming football season. Athlon Sports recently ranked the Hawkeyes 18th, the sixth-ranked team in the Big Ten behind Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Nebraska, while the Cyclones were 24th, third in the Big 12 behind Oklahoma and Texas. Athlon also pegged 9 Hawkeyes as preseason all-conference selections, led by A.J. Epinesa and Alaric Jackson as first-teamers, along with Amir Smith-Marset as a returner. Pro Football Focus, meanwhile, ranks Iowa 10th behind only Ohio State, and Iowa State 21st. Again behind Oklahoma and Texas. Tonight after the show, it's Game 4 of the Bucks and Raptors on the South and Main Gyms, and at 8:30, the Twins and Angels on the North Gym.
This has sort of flown under the radar today because national news takes a backseat to local stories, but Julian Edelman signing a 2-year contract extension with the New England Patriots. Worth noting here, that would give him 3 years to play in New England. Tom Brady is 42. He has said that he would like to play until he's 45. Is this not sort of the dawning of the end of the dynasty? This is like preparing
we
for
do this every year.
This is like knowing that season 8 of Game of Thrones was going to be it. So in say week 10 of this year's NFL season, we see a Starbucks coffee cup on the sideline during a random Patriots game. We know that things are getting a little sloppy there. Is the end for the Patriots going to be 2022? Is that the when they draw the curtains, Brady and Edelman retire at the same time? Who knows what happens to Bill Belichick, who I believe would be a 72 in 3 years?
Belichick.
Is the key.
Belichick's the key, right? Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. But I think it's very reasonable to ask what he would be like had he gone to the Detroit Lions or the St. Louis Rams. Well, the Rams were solid at the time. But in any other franchise, any other dysfunctional franchise in the NFL. And I just think that Bill Belichick has a grasp over this league like we've never seen anybody have a grasp on this league ever. And he could win with Jimmy Garoppolo. He can win with Matt Castle. I'm not saying that he would win at the level that he is without Tom Brady, but they're still going to be a playoff team. They're still going to be in the hunt if Bill Belichick is the head coach.
In other NFL news that I find to be very interesting, the number 32 is going to be making a return for the first time in 42 years to Buffalo, New York. The Bills are bringing back O.J. Simpson's number 32. He left the team in 1977, finished his career, I believe, if I recall correctly, with the 49ers. The Bills did not let anybody wear number 32 after Simpson left the team. It is now the property of Scenarize Perry. I don't know who that is. Should I know who that is?
No.
Okay. He is...
Sonoris?
Sonoris.
Sonoris Perry?
Hey, there you go. See, I was so terrible at the pronunciation. Alex didn't know who the hell I was talking about. Would you want to wear OG? Like, I'm not saying the number's cursed or anything, but the association in Buffalo with number 32 is always going to be, oh yeah, that's OJ Simpson's number.
I'm not worried about it. I've never understood the fascination with the numbers in the first place. Like, why you were you want to do something nice for somebody, so you retire their number, but then you can't use that number again, and whether or not somebody should hop on and use the number of, like, Mario Lemieux in Pittsburgh, or whoever, Brett Hall in St. Louis. I've never been on the number hype, and I'm not even going to try to say that I am in this situation where you're talking about, allegedly, a murderer.
So just hypothetically, Pete Cosma comes up to the big leagues several years ago, and he's like, I want to wear number one. You're fine? Yeah, like, Ozzie Smith, give him number one.
That's fine with me. I'm really, okay. I'm not a number Grinch.
Numbers are sometimes interesting, sometimes double retired. The Chicago Cubs, number 31, belonged to both Greg Maddux and Ferguson Jenkins. So they fly two number 31 flags there at Wrigley Field as both members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Would you want to wear O.J. Simpson's number 32 if you were a member of the Buffalo Bills? Make a great poll question, but it's not today's poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Today's poll question has to do with the news of the day. Iowa's Jordan Bohannon, the former Linmar star, sidelined with a hip injury. He's undergoing hip surgery tomorrow in Iowa City. He made the decision to give the exclusive story to the Des Moines Register earlier today. Iowa following suit. Iowa could not put anything out about this, as I understand it, until the Bohannon family signed off on the HIPAA release.
No pun
and
intended.
Before they had done that, they gave the story to Chad Lystico at the Des Moines Register, and there may or may not be some consternation with other beat reporters about how that story came to light, but Iowa was very clear this was not their doing, and 5 to 9 months is the recovery time for the procedure that Bohannon is undergoing. He has said, he told the Register, he wants to be at 100%. When he comes back for his final season. So I think the odds here are you're looking at a medical redshirt for Jordan Bohannon this season, where he does not play at all and then comes back in 2020-2021 for his final season as a member of the Hawkeyes. Is there any other way to approach this at this point other than
No.
to just say, sit out the entire season, get healthy? I wouldn't take the risk of coming back. Well, technically, isn't the rule you can play 25% of games, but it has to be in the first half of the season,
yes.
Right? So I think all signs point here to the decision already being made, unless he can make some sort of miraculous comeback. And even at that point, I question where this team is going to be from a competitive standpoint, whether or not his presence would be worth it to get them over the hump to some sort of, I guess my bottom line is you wouldn't burn the redshirt year to get Iowa close to making the NCAA tournament or into the NIT or something of that nature. So I think the odds are here for everybody to see that we won't see Jordan Bohannon at all next season for the Hawkeyes, which is not a good thing.
I think that you're looking at this and you say, I want to see a full healthy season from Jordan Bohannon. And you're not going to get that next year. Chances are, coming back from this injury, you're not going to get a pain-free Jordan Bohannon for most of next season. And I think Chad Lystico outlining this when he joined us at 4:30 today, and if you want to catch the podcast, it's available at kgymradio.com, or it will be in about 20 minutes. He said just the recovery time is about 5 to 9 months. And then after that recovery time, you need an additional 2 months to get yourself in basketball shape again if you're Jordan Bohannon. So you're already realizing that the likelihood of him playing, especially since he says he wants to be ready in October or November, or he's going to take a redshirt, connect the dots, he's probably going to redshirt, and then you will see Jordan Bohannon hopefully healthy and ready to go for that next year in his senior year. You can get a full year of him as a senior, and hopefully some of these younger guys who everyone realizes now they're going to have to play this year, hopefully another year under their belt will help them supplement what Jordan Bohannon will bring.
We will take a quick timeout when we return. The Golden State Warriors waiting for the Toronto Raptors or the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals, and the Boston Bruins lying in wait for the Sharks or the Blues.
There's some news out of St. Louis.
Oh, Alex has news out of St. Louis for you when we return after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our AutoZone Rewards program. Sign up is free, and you get a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $22.99 after a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Pros know getting it done right means getting more bang for your buck, because putting more toward your bottom line is good for business. Lowe's is here to help with savings during our Memorial Day sale, like $60 off a DeWalt 20-volt max cordless drill, now just $99. And get $15 off gallon cans and $45 off 5-gallon pails via Lowe's gift card rebate when you buy interior and exterior paint and stain. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 5/29. See store for details, U.S. only.
Twins and the Angels, game 2 of a 3-game series with Big Mike. Michael Pineda on the mound for the Twins on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We welcome you back in. It is a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Dan Lebatard and the Dan Lebatard Show with Stu Gotts taking you home in the afternoon, or early morning tomorrow, I should say, up till noon. They, of course, follow Golic and Wingo here on the ESPN airwaves. And then you've got the Stephen A. Smith Show, followed by Will Kane, and then that leads right into local programming with Scott and Mark on the Gym Class for an hour. And then you get stuck with us for 3 hours. Alex teased some breaking news from St. Louis. This is really unfortunate. St. Louis has some tornadic activity in the area as they're gearing up for Game 6 this evening. But that's not the unfortunate news. The unfortunate news is for the San Jose Sharks, who are going to be presumably down yet another man.
Yeah, Tomas Hertl and Erik Karlsson. And it was announced earlier today that they had not made the trip to St. Louis. Karlsson, the key to that defense for San Jose, their puck mover and distributor. Tomas Hertl, one of their leading scorers. And now they will be without their captain, Captain America, former Waterloo Blackhawk and Wisconsin Badger Joe Pavelski, who will not be able to play tonight after taking a hit up high from Alex Pietrangelo in game number 5. And really one of my favorite players outside of the St. Louis Blues, and it's a shame not to be able to see him in a game 6, but it's the second concussion that he's sustained in these playoffs, and you really, in this day and age, can't with good conscience throw him back out there.
You mentioned while we were in the break there, the odds makers in Las Vegas have handled this by moving the juice a little bit. Now St. Louis, I should say, $1.90 favorite on the money line or the puck line over San Jose. They were $1.60 favorite coming into today. That means that the odds are very much in St. Louis's favor to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in your lifetime, a first time in my lifetime. They haven't been there since 1970. Are you allowing yourself to freak out a little bit as a Blues fan? I know you're going to be bolting out of here tonight to try to get home and or to Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't know where you're going to watch the game tonight, but to catch as much of it as possible, are you starting to get a little anxious?
Yeah.
This seems too easy now at this point. With no Pavelski either.
The stomach is tied up in knots, and it's like you said, something that I've never seen before. And as the Blues are really in this business, you try to detach yourself as much as possible from fandoms. The Blues are what I have left. I know that the Cardinals are there as well, but I have to try as best I can because baseball is such a huge thing here in the state of Iowa, in this area. There are Cubs fans, there are Cardinals fans. I try as best as I can to not be too attached all the time to any baseball team, because that's when you're a fan, sometimes it clouds your judgment. But the Blues, I allow myself to be the fan of that team and have been my entire life, and have seen so many good players and good coaches come through St. Louis and have gotten my hopes up so many times going into playoffs that they're going to make a run and they don't, that you just wonder, you feel, when is the other shoe going to drop? But this team has found ways to come up big the entire playoffs, and now they have a team completely on the ropes. They're in St. Louis, where the atmosphere is just going to be absurd tonight. And I think that if you're Craig Berube, the head coach of the Blues right now, you're telling the guys, and you probably don't even, this team already knows it, don't get overexcited. Don't overplay things. Steady, steady, steady. Do exactly what you've done the entire series. Get on the forecheck. Be physical. Be aggressive, but not too aggressive, because you can win the war of attrition with the San Jose Sharks, a team that is completely beaten up going into Game 6.
This is really interesting to watch this all play out tonight with St. Louis and the fan base. And as we touched on with Chris Raby, St. Louis has the image as a baseball city, but boy, they really love their St. Louis Blues, a franchise that hasn't won much of anything since it came into existence in the 1960s, and yet the fan support has always been there for the Blues, and now they've got an opportunity to be there at the highest of highs. Now, that being said, it's going to be difficult going up against Boston if they do advance either tonight or if it takes Game 7 to get to that point, but the one thing that I keep going back to with Chris Raby, and I think we'll touch on this as a subject more on the program tomorrow, as we're very tight on time right now, but this team was dead last at one point this year, and they didn't run up the white flag. They didn't have a fire sale. They did, of course, fire Mike Yeo and put Craig Berube in charge, but there are all these little things along the way, and if they had made one move, it could have possibly derailed this entire run that they're on right now. And I think that's really the fascinating thing here. And what other sport would this happen in? I mean, if you're dead last in the American League West on June 1st, are you thinking that you're going to be playing in a World Series? That's the equivalent here. Or if you're 0-8 or 0-9 in the NFL and getting to the Super Bowl.
It's what it feels like. And you mentioned Berube and the coaching change, and we'll get into it a little bit more, hopefully tomorrow.
More hockey talk tomorrow for those of you who absolutely love hearing it.
Jordan Binnington, the goaltender, has just been...
Benny
has been ridiculous.
The Beverage Depot, the guy, as I like to call him.
The guy who is 25 years old and making his NHL debut this year, is up for the Calder Trophy, which is the Rookie of the Year, and he's cocky. He is very sure of himself, which is exactly what you want in a goalie, because it's so mental being between those pipes, and you've seen even the most talented goalies who kind of just get... chewed up and spit out by the NHL when they go through a slump. He gives up a goal. He doesn't care. He comes back and he shuts the other team down. And hopefully he can do it another time in this Western Conference Finals to send the Blues to the Stanley Cup Final.
319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. We appreciate all of your participation on the text line today. We do have NBA hoops on tap tonight. Game 4. Of the Milwaukee-Toronto series, as Toronto is going to try to even things up there. Waiting for the winner of that series in the wings will be, of course, the Golden State Warriors, who finished things off last night with a sweep of the Portland Trail Blazers. So a big night of sports, not only in Eastern Iowa, but all across the country, as we've got NBA and NHL playoff action on tap. Also, baseball. The Minnesota Twins still hanging out on the West Coast. It's the Angels and Twins coming your way tonight on 107.5 FM, our North Gym frequency. Michael Pineda taking the start against Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, who is available tonight. He was hit by a pitch on the hand last night, although it does not sound like it is serious. Andrelton Simmons, however, may not be available for the Angels. He's going on the injured list. Luis Rignifo. Coming up from AAA Salt Lake, a former Clinton Lumber King. Don't ask me how I know that. Coming up for you on the program tomorrow, it is a Wednesday, and that means the 6 o'clock showdown, your next opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. I'm sure we'll have St. Louis, San Jose reaction, most likely from a jubilant Alex Kuhn, but he refuses to believe that this is going to be it. This could be a history-making night in St. Louis. We'll have it for you one way or the other on the program tomorrow. Plus, you never know which one of those bad Iowa basketball headlines our listeners predicted could be coming down the pipe. It's all on the way tomorrow. If you missed anything from today's show, you can listen to the podcast at KGYMRadio.com.